The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, October 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia officials on Thursday announced new guidelines for restaurants offering outdoor dining during the cold fall and winter months ahead. The guidelines paint a clearer picture of what's permissible for restaurants offering dining options during the coronavirus pandemic. They specify what types of shelters and heating sources restaurants can use. So restaurant owners will not have to obtain a city building permit for prefabricated tents and canopies. They will have to obtain a right-of-way permit, which applies for all shelters. On the other hand, owners will need to get a building permit if they decide to go with a shelter made of pliable material like nylon or polyester that's attached to their building but set up over a sidewalk. Similarly, these shelters will need a right-of-way permit for the block or the sidewalk. If owners go with a shelter made of non-pliable material like wood, they will also have to get a building permit. Electric propane and natural gas heaters are allowed, but they have to have specifically be for outdoor use as well as be installed safely and be placed 3 feet away from combustible materials if they're electric and 5 feet away if they're powered by propane or natural gas. All heaters must be secured and tamper-proof. Heaters that use kerosene or open flames are not allowed, nor any that burn solid fuels like wood, even if it has a mesh covering over it, you know, like a fire pit that you would have in your backyard. So that will not be allowed. But some more information that they released, which is good. So they can try to keep the outdoor dining or some form of outdoor dining.
Sad note, Kathy, or side note, that those heaters are really difficult to find at this point because they're in such demand. Yeah,
yeah.
So like, some people are looking for them for their own homes, you know, so I have people over for Thanksgiving and things like that. But restaurants, as you know, they need them. So the demand is way high, but they're really difficult to find at this point.
So like the restaurants will have a hard time getting it?
Yeah. For rental or just anything like rental services that routinely will send them out to events and things like that.
Right.
They're all tapped out. They're all booked up. The question I have is, Kathy, any specification on the amount of walls you could have in a tented area?
No, it's just what it's made of.
Just what it's made of. Okay, well, that's good. That's a relaxing of the other requirements they had.
Yeah, so, well, I didn't know that about the heaters. That's a shame. Hopefully these restaurants can get them. Two men have been found dead after authorities say they went missing while boating in Delaware on Thursday. An empty boat was found at the Looms Pond State Creek in Middletown, Newcastle County at about noon yesterday. According to Delaware State Police, a 63-year-old man and a 65-year-old man fell out of the boat for an unknown reason. A boater nearby attempted to rescue the victims but was unsuccessful. The bodies of both men were found later Thursday night. The identities of the men have not yet been released. Anyone with information is asked to contact police. The family of Pennsylvania Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman will not seek prosecution against a woman who called Second Lady Gisele Fetterman a racial slur outside a grocery store Sunday, the Pennsylvania State Police said Thursday. Though the Allegheny County District Attorney's Office determined that the woman's alleged conduct supports the charging of several violations, the Fetterman family prefers the woman be given an opportunity to engage appropriate social services and other resources, State Police said in the news release. State Police said this week they identified the woman, but they did not release her name. The 38-year-old Brazilian-born Fetterman, who fled the violence of Rio de Janeiro in 1990 and grew up in New York, told CNN a white woman harassed her inside the store and later approached her vehicle, pulled down her mask, and delivered the racial slur before walking away. Fetterman posted a 2-second video of the incident on Twitter. This incident is a reminder of the toll racism takes on individuals as well as the community. The Pennsylvania State Police is committed to fair and thorough investigation and encourages victims to immediately report crimes motivated by hate or bias to law enforcement, State Police said in a news release.
Did they suggest what caused the altercation?
The woman just recognized her.
Yeah, she recognized who she was.
Who she was.
And so she just went after her.
Oh,
she started harassing her. And then I watched the video and it's like,
it's so like, why?
As effing people.
Yeah.
As I say.
Yep. Fetterman met then Mayor John Fetterman in 2007 and they married the following year. They have 3 children. In sports this morning.
Sacks
Carlos Correa hit a walk-off home run to center field with one out in the bottom of the ninth inning, lifting the Houston Astros to a 4-3 win over the Tampa Bay Rays last night in San Diego. The Rays still lead the series 3-2, and Game 6 is tonight at 6:07. In the National League, the Atlanta Braves' Bryce Wilson threw 6 one-hit innings and outpitched the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw in a 10-2 win. Atlanta leads the series 3-1 and will have 3 chances at securing its first trip to the World Series since 1999. Game 5 is tonight in Arlington, Texas, and the first pitch is set for 9:08. In football news, the Kansas City Chiefs signed veteran running back Le'Veon Bell. Bell, who was released by the New York Jets earlier this week, agreed to a 1-year deal. The Chiefs will play the Jets in Week 8. And the Eagles are back home this weekend with the game on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens, who are 4-1 and in second place in the AFC North. The Eagles are 1-3-1 and in second place in the NFC East. Kickoff at the Link on Sunday is set for 1 o'clock, and fans will be in attendance. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thanks, Kath. We are right on the doorstep of a weekend, and we are happy about that fact, and also about the fact that we have to give away our Word of the Week prize today. Love doing that. And we have a $400 Resorts Casino Hotel gift card. Somebody has been keeping track of the letters for the Word of the Week. So get yourself set for that. Joining us on the program today, Bert Kreischer.
Hey, hey, hey!
Bert is on to promote The Cabin, his new Netflix series, which is available to stream now. And he has all his comedian and Hollywood buddies and friends on that show.
I was watching a clip, and Joel McHale, who participates on the show, says, so why did they cancel my show again?
Nice.
But it's cool. It's Bert being Bert with his buddies.
Yep. So we'll spend a little time with Bert, which is always a good time, around 9 o'clock. And we have some more information coming up concerning the Camp Out for Hunger. So we have a guest that's on at 8 o'clock. We'll reveal who that is in a little while. And we got to get ready for Rocktober Madness. So I do have an update for you in case you did miss out on the matchups yesterday. Offspring and Sublime faced off. And Pierre had to have been happy because Offspring won that one.
Yes, absolutely. He got one.
He's friends with some of the band members.
Yeah.
And he's happy about that. In our bracket, Queen took out Ozzy. No problem.
Yeah, wow. Had to be.
Yep. And then, of course, this one had to happen too. As great of a band as Green Day is, they were against Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
So Floyd won that one, which was, that's good too. And
yeah.
I love me some Green Day, but Floyd is legendary. And speaking of legendary, the Doors were handled by Iron Maiden in the Brent and Jackie bracket. So there you go. Iron Maiden might be that dark horse. They keep trudging along. We'll see how they move.
I have no idea how this is going to play out.
Yeah, Kinks.
No idea.
Kinks and Bruce go up today. Genesis and Yes, a battle of the progressives right there.
Oh, my God.
Take earlier Genesis stuff into account. We have Alice in Chains against Metallica. And then this is the most interesting matchup of the day. Rage Against the Machine against the Beatles.
Wow.
So let's see how that goes.
Listen, you guys, you want to make predictions on that one?
I don't know. I guess I don't. I mean, I obviously want the Beatles to win, but
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Rage does that.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't. It's just that weird.
Go with the Beatles.
Okay.
But I will not be shocked if Rage takes it.
All right.
All right. It gets underway at 11:30 today with Pierre. All right. Let's take a break. Come back in a second and give some stuff away. Stupid question and entertainment stories. And we will be back shortly. So make sure you stay with us for the duration of your Friday drive in.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The stupid question, a $50 gift card for Nabraza is what we are going to give away. And here's a question that we have for you. At the very first MTV Video Music Awards, which are in 1984, by the way, what band got an honorary MTV Vanguard Award? Now, also, the man who directed two films starring them got a Vanguard Award as well. But what band got an honorary MTV Vanguard Award? The very first MTV Music Video Awards 1984. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. And while you are dialing in, we'll go through birthdays that are occurring on October 15th, 16th today. Angela Lansbury.
No.
The elderest, I guess is a word. The oldest person celebrating a birthday that I have on my list today. She's 95 years old today.
Murder, She Wrote. Lengthy Hollywood career. She was sort of the femme fatale early on in her career in Hollywood. She's great, though. She's a great actor. Bed Knobs and Broomsticks.
Did you ever see National Velvet?
I did.
What was that movie about?
It's
about a horse or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, a girl and a little girl's love for the horse. Yeah.
She was in that.
She played the horse.
No. She was the horse. No, because I was playing at a golf course in California, and somebody pointed out to me, on the course was, they were like, that's the stables from National Velvet. And I was like, oh.
Elizabeth Taylor's the girl.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. But Angela Lansbury was in as well. She's 95 today. Tim Robbins turned 62 years old today.
I was just watching a video of Tim. It was Tim Robbins, and they were reading him initial bad reviews of The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, wow.
And he's smiling. He's laughing. A movie that is pretty much iconic and, everyone adores.
It's outstanding.
He's it was pretty amusing watching that.
Yeah, I remember when that movie was in theaters and Stephen King, I wasn't a fan then. I didn't read his works.
Right.
So it really wasn't on my radar, and I know it had nominations and I was like, okay, whatever. It's a big, dramatic film. I'm not that into that type of stuff. And I saw it, and I was like, my God, that movie is outstanding.
He's also,
I think, all-time favorite movies.
Top, would you say, on the show in general, and take the consensus here, in our top 10 coolest interviews?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was my favorite until Travolta.
Yeah.
Like, as far as and I remember just nerding out when Tim Robbins was
here. He hung out. He was casual. He took every question. He was all.
He's Eddie Vedder's best man at Eddie's wedding.
That's pretty cool.
Was he?
Yeah. He and Eddie are friends.
That. Wow.
He was all smiley and happy while he was here. It was cool. He's 62 today, Tim Robbins. Suzanne Summers. We had her on not that long ago. Talk about her possibly posing nude.
She was good. Yeah. She was better the second time. I forget. She was promoting something the first time and probably the second time, but much more interesting.
She's 74 today, so happy birthday, Suzanne Summers. Kelly Martin, who was on Life Goes On.
I always thought she was cute.
I did, too.
Yeah, with the glasses.
And then she was on ER for a stretch, too, and she celebrates her 45th birthday today.
This was the theme song for Life Goes On. Was it not?
That's correct.
I don't know.
Okay,
yes,
I wanted to make
only
sure.
Only they sang it. The cast members of the show would sing it at the beginning. Yes, that is correct. Good call, Case.
Thank you.
It's Flea's birthday today. Flea, born Michael Peter Balzari. Is the bassist of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, of course.
Flea's a better name, I think.
Yeah.
He's an outstanding musician. He's one of those people that took that instrument and brought it right up to the front of what the band was doing.
I was going to bring this up yesterday, and I've seen yet again on another list of most overrated bands, the Chili Peppers pop up.
No.
And I don't get that.
Yeah. Huh.
I don't know what the Chili Pepper hatred is.
Here's the deal with the Red Hot Chili Peppers and why I think you have to respect them. If you hear them from the beginning, they were a way different band. They evolved into a more melodic band. They were more kinetic, and their early stuff was obviously very punk funk.
Yes.
With some hip-hop thrown in as well. It was a really unique sound. But over that time, they managed to craft some really great hit songs. Not an easy thing to do.
Right.
But some people don't like them, whatever. I like the early stuff and I like the current stuff. So Flea celebrates his 58th birthday today. Bob Weir of the Grateful Dead and many other bands and projects after the Dead was no more. Celebrating his 73rd birthday today.
Sorry for interrupting. Is Bob Weir's greatest production his daughter?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Monet
Weir.
Stunning.
Is just beautiful.
Stunning.
Yeah. I was like Bob Weir. You guys know, and Pierre knows, I'm not a big Dead fan.
Nor am I.
I like the hits. I do like the hits, but I can't dive into the deep stuff, and the live shows have bored the hell out of me. I do like Bob Weir, and I like Jerry Garcia.
It's funny that you mentioned this, Preston, because there's a scene on a Goldbergs episode where they decide, Erica and her boyfriend, hey, let's go follow the Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the songs that we like Like,
A couple of summers ago, I decided to, because there's a really great in-depth documentary about the band on Amazon Prime, and I was like, man, I need to take a journey from the very beginning and go through all of their studio albums in succession. And so I did that, and a lot of that earlier stuff, I was like, I had never heard it before.
Did you like it?
I didn't really like it all that much. I love the Grateful Dead. They're in the top 10 band
for me. All right.
But there's a lot of earlier on stuff. I'm like, how did these guys end up even getting a following?
Right.
And I know that's probably sacrilege to say. But with that said, I'm looking at like a list of the songs that we have that we play. Dude, they're a great band, man. They really are. And if you don't get it, I'm sorry, but they are. They're really, really great.
All right, Bob Weir is 73 years old today. CF Fred Turner of Bachman Turner Overdrive. Is 73 years old. They have a place in my heart.
Whenever I say, as a joke, a band is playing a local library, I tend to default to Bachman Turner Overdrive.
We used to, in the first iteration of my band, this is our closing song.
It's a good song.
People love it. Yeah. So, 77 years old today. Barry Corbin, actor. You know him from War Games, Northern Exposure, and so on. He's the big guy. Played Maurice on Northern Exposure. And in War Games, he was the general.
Yeah.
Very distinctive voice. And he's been in tons of stuff over the
years. Burly guy.
He's 80 years old today. Wendy Wilson of Wilson Phillips. Daughter of Brian Wilson. Sister of Carney Wilson. Niece of Carl and Dennis Wilson.
Star of Bridesmaids. Well, not star, but she sings at the end.
She is 51 years old today. Go ahead, guys.
Over there.
Chad Gray, singer of Mudvayne and Hell Yeah, is 49.
They cover Wilson Phillips in a lot of the
shows. Yes, they do. Yeah. Yep, only in their live shows. Somebody's gonna make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Yeah. It's really good. A little different tone. That's Mudvayne. It's John Mayer's birthday today, too. Oh,
speaking of the dead.
He played.
He tours with the dead.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Some of his relatives are dead.
He loves. No. He plays with the dead, the surviving members of the dead. But he and Bobby Weir are really good friends.
Okay, he's 43 today.
And he played at one of the Penn's various proms.
That's right. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. I wonder if
he'd have a shot at voting.
I'm thinking the same thing
because he's a stud.
You women know, women love run him. At her. Oh. He must. It's John Mayer.
But women take a run at him. He doesn't take a run at women. That's the way it goes. So,
though he's now doing the smart play. He takes every opportunity to say he's a feminist, and he does all the things that so he can just sort of, I'm not that guy anymore. I've evolved. Now let's go back to my place.
Who else do we have here? John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite fame and other movies, Blades of Glory,
relative of Vice Gamma.
That's right.
Yeah, they
talked about that.
Sisters.
No.
I think it's on his wife's side.
Yeah. He's an uncle or something.
I think so.
Anyway. I think it's his nephew.
That's right.
Nephew.
John Heder is 43 today. And last birthday, Bryce Harper of the Phils celebrates his 28th birthday today. So enjoy, everybody who's celebrating their birthday. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. The very first MTV Video Music Awards in 1984. What band got an honorary MTV Vanguard Award? Let's go to Barry. Hey, Barry.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, sir. What band got the Vanguard Award at the very first MTV Video Music Awards?
Beatles.
The Beatles did, yes. Hang on, Barry. And also, Richard Lester, who directed Hard Day's Night and Help, got a Video Vanguard
essentially
award.
Created the video format with those movies.
Yep. All right, so Barry's going to get a $50 gift card for Nebraza, open for curbside pickup and indoor-outdoor dining, serving a full 15 Brazilian meat service with your dedicated server at each table. Details at Nebraza.com, courtesy of Fast and Furious Spy Racers Rio, exclusively on Netflix. Now, I'm going to start with this one, Steve. You and I were just chatting briefly off air about the HBO show The Vow, which is about the Nexium cult. Well, Indy Oxenberg, who's the daughter of former Dynasty star Catherine Oxenberg, who was caught up in all that, is speaking out about how she was recruited to a secret sorority within the cult Nexium by Smallville alum Allison Mack. She tells People that it began January of 2015, 4 years after joining Nexium. She says that Allison said that she had this special program she thought would help me. I felt singled out. I felt special. Mack told Oxenberg that the group was called DOS for the Latin phrase Dominus Obsequius Sororium, roughly translated to master over slave. She says to belong, she had to agree to become Mack's slave. Oxenberg is also sharing her story in a four-part docuseries called Seduced Inside the Nexium Cult. So there's going to be more on this, Steve.
Are any of you guys watching it?
No, I really want to, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
So, Nick, think of it. There are, and there's a point that's made in the most recent installment. One of the guys who is basically the secondhand guy to Keith, the runner of Nexium, he says, you know, no one actively joins. I want to join a cult. They join an organization that or something that appeals to them. And before they know it, they're entrenched in this thing. So this isn't like Manson family crazy from the get go. And we were talking about it, Preston, just before about how there are things in it that seem like, yeah, that actually makes sense. Or this could actually be life affirming.
It's some self-help stuff. It's that seems like it's rooted in.
Right.
In positive, techniques to help you overcome
better your life.
Fear
and
so on. But anyhow, Steve, so this new docuseries is going to begin on the 18th, so on Sunday on Stars at 9 p.m., so it's a whole new one.
Wow.
Oxenberg says, I knew too much about what happened, and I had a moral obligation to make sure it didn't happen to anyone else. But Mac told her at the time she joined DOS, she needed something to make sure I wouldn't share what she was about to disclose, and that's how I ended up providing her with what they call collateral. And
yes,
it's a big part of this show. Essentially, it's information about yourself, and they even have you just make up and say things that are damning to have this evidence against you
that you wouldn't want revealed.
It's
also
crazy.
It also manifested in naked pictures.
Yeah,
things you wouldn't want released of you.
Yep.
And they held that.
So the collateral included sharing family secrets, taking graphic nude shots. Eventually, Mac made her cook and clean for her and starve herself. She said, I could have no more than 500 calories a day.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Then Oxenberg was told to seduce Nexium's leader, Keith Raniere. Allison said that it was to make me feel less vulnerable, she said, and I wanted to believe her. You get so used to this environment of abuse that you believe you're deserving of it, that it's good for you.
If you've forgotten what this cult is about, this is the one that was branding the women in this sorority, in this DOS.
What do the letters mean, the Nexium letters?
It turns out, Press, you want to take it?
Well, and
it's kind of a revelation in the show.
No, not the branding. He means what does NXIVM mean?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That I'm not sure. Everything has a meaning, but the brand was Keith Raniere's initials and also Allison Mack's.
Yeah.
But you can't, it doesn't, unless you look for it, you can't really see it. It looks like a some type of a symbol that is representing just shapes, essentially. But, they were pretty clever about it. It's compelling stuff. The Vow is the one that's on now, but this one starts on Sunday. It's called The Seduced Inside the Nexium Cult, and it's from India Oxenberg's perspective, so it should be interesting. Timothée Chalamet graces GQ's latest cover, and inside he opens up about some of his regrets. A 24-year-old confessed that the viral paparazzi shots of him and his then-girlfriend Lily Rose Depp, taken of them making out on a yacht in Capri in 2019, were embarrassing. He said, he said, I went to bed that night thinking that was one of the best days of my life. He tells the magazine of his day with Depp. He said, I was on this boat all day with someone I really loved. And closing my eyes, I was like, indisputably, that was great. And then waking up to all these pictures and feeling embarrassed and looking like a real knob, he said, all pale. So the images went viral.
The pale knob. Many think it worse.
Many were thinking it was a PR stunt and making it all kinds of personal. They were making personal judgments. The pair has since split, and now Chalamet says he is trying to find his way during the pandemic, staying positive.
Oh, it's going to be hard for him.
Zendaya,
getting another girlfriend.
Zendaya told GQ of Chalamet's laid-back, upbeat vibe because they're in the movie Dune together.
Yes, yeah.
His positive energy is infectious. He really is so much fun to be around. We have a very similar humor and we can keep a joke going for a long time, but when the cameras start rolling and it's time to work, you can see it's game time, and he just taps into this brilliant intensity.
I thought so.
It's awesomeness. It's awesome to witness, she said.
He's young enough. He's a good-looking guy. I think his run is going to be pretty substantial. He's Case, bets on if he's the next People Magazine sexiest man alive?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think maybe
the buzz on him is so big.
A little too boyish right now.
I think
now.
He's too young for that.
All right.
Yeah. I think he'll probably get there. You know what? I don't know how old
probably
he is.
Probably about, you know, you just said 24. Probably by the time, yeah, in the story.
I think he's 24.
Listen to the podcast.
I think he's got to be probably at least 30 before he gets
there.
You
think
that. So? Yeah.
All right. I wonder who the youngest, sexiest man alive has been on.
Good question.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be great as Paul in Dune, so I'm looking forward to that. The estate of a recently deceased Holocaust survivor has filed a suit to keep her interview with Sacha Baron Cohen private, according to Page Six. The interview with Judith Dim Evans is slated to appear in the upcoming Borat film. Evans, who died this summer, thought that she was taking part in a serious documentary when she sat down for an interview in a Georgia synagogue on January 29th. Per the suit, upon learning after, this is the quote. Upon learning after giving the interview that the movie was actually a comedy intended to mock the Holocaust and Jewish culture, Ms. Evans was horrified and upset. Had Ms. Evans been informed about the true nature of the film and purpose for the interview, she would not have agreed to participate in the interview.
So is this what happened? Did he sit down? He sat down with a Holocaust survivor and was he...
This is what the suit
what
is
they're
saying. So that is how they are
framing it.
Yeah, that's how they're interpreting
all
it.
Right.
So I don't know what the nature of the
because
conversation
is. Sacha Baron Cohen is Jewish himself.
Correct.
Yeah.
And listen, he pokes fun at all kinds of people and catches them off guard and so on. So they just probably didn't like it no matter what.
This is going to be in the next movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Adam Hoytkeimer, the attorney representing Evans, told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that he hadn't seen the film, but knew that Evans will be included in the final cut of Borat's subsequent movie film delivery of prodigious bribe to American regime to make benefit one glorious nation of Kazakhstan is set to drop on October 23rd on Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime and Oak Springs Productions are named in the suit, which seeks to remove Evans from the film. They're also seeking damages of less than $75,000. So they're not doing a big money grab. They may want this just to get her out of there.
Just want to put you guys on alert that they're sending us a Borat Mankini.
Yeah! I have one.
Yeah, no, it's a new one.
Oh, okay.
Is it the same style or have they made modifications?
Well, it's same style, but it's COVID time, so it comes with a matching mask. So
that'll be interesting.
I don't know. We were talking yesterday about making some sort of bets, and I can't remember what that conversation was about.
Oh, yeah. If you play a game and the loser has to, like, do something embarrassing the next day, wear something for the entirety of the show. I don't know about that. I don't know if HR would be okay with that.
No,
well,
I'm
Nick,
saying...
Nick, you wore it.
Kathy and Marissa should do it.
Oh, yeah.
I wore it.
Okay. I was only thinking about us.
One of our Halloween parties in, like, 2005 or 2006.
Yeah, that's right.
But this is why we need interns back in the room.
John Cena and his girlfriend, Sherriad Zedda, got married on Monday in Tampa, Florida. Days before the secret wedding, the Blockers star wrote on social media, "I will be happy if I only get," and then it says X in parentheses.
A little poon.
I don't know what that means. This is a great way to mold an entire life spent chasing happiness and never finding joy. So they got married. Congratulations. That's great.
Nicky, I'm a hang down.
I have no idea what
good
that
for him.
Cryptic message meant. Becca Cuffrin is speaking out. She's from The Bachelorette.
Yes.
So she's speaking out about her decision to freeze her eggs. She posted candid videos on Instagram stories documenting the process.
That's what Kathy and Casey did, right?
With they incubated eggs.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We did the opposite of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we heated them up.
So it documented the process, which was prompted by her split from Garrett Yorgian. She said,
I don't love you no more.
I think it's so important as women we know about our bodies and our options. For me, I'm not old, but I'm not a spring chicken.
Ah.
She does mention chickens here. There's
eggs. Someone say
how old
chicken.
Is she again?
Yeah, so,
hi, okay. Everyone. I'm Gene Simmons.
How old is she again?
I don't know. I do not know.
She's in her 30s.
Yeah.
Becca Cuffrin. And she said, I'm no spring chicken.
Chicken.
And I want kids one day, but not anytime soon. So I figure, why not do it now in quarantine? So,
why not, right?
Oh, she's only 30.
So she's freezing her.
Sorry. I thought she was she was older. I actually talked to a fertility doctor. I interviewed her, and she said that people in their 20s don't think about this. It's not something they think about because they're still young.
Yeah.
But that's the time. So, like, 30, like, that's the time to freeze your eggs. Most times women, you know, get to a point where they're getting past the age of having kids, and they try to freeze their eggs then, and it's a lot more difficult.
So that would pose an interesting question. Let's say you're 25. You think about that. You freeze your eggs. And then you decide, you know, then just a few years later, you meet the right person and you want to start a family.
Do you defrost those eggs?
Do you defrost those eggs and fertilize those eggs?
Yeah.
Or do you try naturally and do it that way?
Oh, I think that could be up to the
It would be, but it'd be like, that's a bit of a conundrum.
But you know? I think the
new boyfriend use a slingshot?
No, I think it's a safety measure. I think that maybe they go ahead and they try, and if they can't, you know, because the quality of the eggs goes down drastically as women age, so they have these eggs just in case they need
them. I'm just wondering if there's a moral conundrum depending on what your beliefs are on the egg and life so on.
If I may jump in here
maybe
quickly.
Maybe I'm making it more complicated than it needs to be.
You're not. Sofia Vergara, you remember that issue?
Yeah,
they were fighting a custody battle over the eggs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Do you remember that?
Well, yeah. Those were fertilized eggs.
Right.
They were fertilized.
They were probably, and that, I think if you do it that way, like you have a better chance than if you freeze the egg and you fertilize, you thaw it out and then you fertilize it later. So if it's, if they freeze it as an embryo, you have a better chance of it taking.
It sounds like we're setting these out on a counter for a couple of hours in the kitchen.
This one's named Timmy.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Timmy.
Don't get your hopes up.
Don't get me started.
This is his new friend, Latte.
Poor Latte.
Kathy, when you did the interview, did you find out if it's an expensive process?
You know what? Yeah, there's definitely obviously an expense to it. It's not ridiculous. Like the freezing of it all, I think was like the cheapest part. It's actually the procedure to go in and get them and all of that.
Is it this week's friggin' big deal?
No. Yeah. Oh, no.
Rod Jaworski has a...
but you know what? It was...
Rod Jaworski has a frozen egg.
Maybe we should really want some kids, but you know, she got all the... I mean, you know, we got some... We'll do your transmission and set you up with the family.
You can't ever.
Like, no, you can't have a serious conversation.
No, you know what? Now we really do have to.
There are women that are thinking about this. I was going to pass on some.
Go ahead.
Good to know Jaws is involved.
We will not interrupt you.
Even know what I was going to say.
Okay. We're talking about the cost of the process.
Yes, there is. It is, you know, it's a decent amount, but it wasn't ridiculous. It wasn't unattainable.
You got to figure in also the cost of an average transmission, and then you realize
you're actually saving.
Yeah, there it is.
But this doctor that I was talking to, she actually recommended people in their 20s should do this to freeze their eggs.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I guess.
I know this is a shocker, but Becca Cuffern is a very beautiful young lady. We're looking at some at her Instagram account. By the way, the big freaking deal this week is a $50 gift certificate to Arnold's Family Fun Center for $25.
Wow,
so you can get that now.
I got to get back. That place is so cool.
It's the best. All right, let's move along. For the first time in 7 months, Queen Elizabeth is leaving her COVID bubble.
Boop, boop.
In the...
She's going to love it?
In the first...
Let me take you dancing.
In the first in-person public engagement outside her royal residences, Elizabeth opened up a new analysis center at a secret government science facility on Thursday.
Look, I'm doing the robot. Rheumatoid arthritis really helps.
Her grandson...
Oh, you're doing the robot. I got to get you better robot music. Sorry,
okay.
Bro.
Her grandson, Prince William II in the line of the throne, had joined her at the event as well. So first time in 7 months that she has been outside of her COVID bubble. So.
I am the queen. Beep, beep, boop, boop.
So she is back, and she is she's loving life, as you can tell.
Yeah, that's good.
Doing backflips and everything.
And everything.
Steve, Warner Brothers, the Batman, is continuing to shoot in Liverpool despite the increased COVID-19 crackdowns this week. The UK government put a tiered lockdown in place on Monday, but authorities are allowing the studio to move forward with the film.
They showed stills from the set somebody captured of... Rob Pattinson's stunt double in the costume. Man, it looks good.
A spokesman for the Liverpool City Council said the new restrictions in Liverpool will not impact on filming in the city. The film office is working closely with every single production to ensure COVID and safe measures are in place and are being adhered to.
Well, this is actually, both stories are tangential to each other because, Preston, the Queen is the stunt coordinator on this film.
Oh.
That's why she left Buckingham Palace.
So last month, Robert Pattinson was diagnosed positive with coronavirus, shutting down the production temporarily. The film is now slated for release in March of 2022.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Steve, speaking of Batman, did you see that Affleck and Damon launched an Omaze yesterday?
Yeah, we have the audio.
I have the audio.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
Kathy? Can you pull that up, please?
Preston, I got this. It's right there.
All right, here we go.
Hey, I'm Ben Affleck.
I'm Matt Damon.
And we'd like to invite you to come to L.A. and have lunch with us. And
yeah, basically, we'll fly you and a friend to L.A. and you'll come to...
You gotta spice it up. You gotta make it appealing, right?
Spice it up.
But like right now, no one wants to come have dinner with this guy. Well, let's do another take and you like sell it. Okay. Push it. How is it in their interest that people might be interested? Hey, when you come see Jason Bourne, Batman.
Robert Pattinson's coming?
No,
Jeremy Renner will be there, though. And Jeremy Renner did not play Jason Bourne. He expanded the Bourne universe.
He improved on it.
Pattinson took the job.
You can't quite make it
I
out.
But you have to see the video because that sounds like they were in a gymnasium while they were doing
so
it.
So what he's saying is he's saying, well Rob Pattinson's going to be there to Batman. And he goes, no, but Jeremy Renner's going to be there. And he goes, well, who wasn't really Jason Bourne? And he goes, well, he sort of redefined it and made it better. And so they're going back and forth. What it caught me is I actually had to look at when this was recorded because Affleck is completely shaved. Well, I mean, not down to his pubes, but he's always rocking a little bit of a 5 o'clock shadow. He looks so much younger with that.
Yeah. All right. This is an interesting story. Casey, this is for you. When Adam Sandler's recent Netflix movie, Hubie Halloween, started production in Massachusetts last year, it provided jobs to dozens of local actors. And as it turns out, the film also cost a local news anchor her job.
Oh, I was sad to see this.
Elena Pinto, former morning anchor for WHDH Channel 7 News Boston, announced on Twitter Thursday morning that she was terminated by the station due to a contract violation for appearing in the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she wrote, "Hi, friends. I have some news to share. Earlier this week, I was let go from 7 News. I am posting this because I want to be open and honest with all of you. Last year, I participated in a cameo in Adam Sandler's Hubie Halloween. In doing so, I mistakenly violated my contract with the station, and I understand why management unfortunately chose to terminate me. I'm deeply disappointed and saddened, and I hope that this would not be how things evolved." And then she thanks everybody and so on.
In the movie, the news crew, with all the women, opt to dress as Harley Quinn. So
some young girls on Halloween night.
In the scene, she discusses Salem's upcoming Halloween festivities and jokes with fellow female news station employees who have all chosen, like Steve said, to dress like Harley Quinn. And Tracy, so Pinto's character says, "Tracy, you went as Harley Quinn too?" She asks reporter Tracy Phillips, who's played by Sandler's wife, Jackie Sandler. And she says, "Sure did, Aaron." And then she comes back with only one day a year to show your ex what he's been missing. And then they start kind of dancing around a little bit. So she had joined 7 News in December of 2016 as a traffic reporter and previously worked in Burlington, Vermont as a morning news reporter. And she was on air for up until earlier this month. But Hubie Halloween had wrapped up filming in Massachusetts in August of 2019. So I guess maybe she didn't talk to them and tell them she was doing that. You always
and I understand that, and she apparently understands it because it wasn't an acrimonious thing that she posted. But still,
I understand maybe a slap on the wrist or whatever, but firing her.
Yeah.
For showing up in a movie? F them, dude. And
it's a pretty benign thing.
F them in the hiney.
Wow,
sorry.
Man. Wow.
I mean, I wish I could say
he
more.
He loves the movie.
I do love the movie.
He's grown attached to the cast and so on. So.
Oh, that sucks.
All right. Let's see. Let's do the clips.
Oh, no movies?
Did you send a movie list? There are no movies
that I saw opening up.
No movies. Let's do the clip. So, in a creature-infested world, a man goes on a journey to find his lost girlfriend in Love and Monsters. In this clip, stars Jessica Henwick and Dylan O'Brien. Recall filming a scene where they're fighting a giant crab.
That was a tennis ball on a stick. And then there was this blow-up crab that we had sometimes.
Yeah, they would drag out this gigantic blow-up crab that they ordered two of from China. It was like, to take a reference sometimes, like it would obviously never be there when we were shooting, but it was hilarious that it even existed. But that whole set was real. Like, they like made that whole beach set, so the environment was totally practical.
Love and Monsters is available on demand now. Here is the next clip. In hopes of living an honest life, a bank robber turns himself in only to be double-crossed by two FBI agents in Honest Thief. In this clip, Liam Neeson discusses his first impressions when he read the script.
That was Sorry.
Man, his voice has changed.
He's a good actor.
I have a very particular set of skills that make people like me a nightmare for you, so you better bring my daughter back!
I think we're ready to go.
This is Liam Neeson. Okay. Here we go.
He sent me this script, and I loved it. It was very unusual because it had, yes, there's action and stuff in it, and including an amazing fight that Kate gets involved in. And but it has a great heart. It has a wonderful love story underneath it, and of two people of a certain age.
Honest Thief is now playing in theater.
Remember when he made the declaration that he wasn't going to do anything action-oriented?
Yeah, he did three more action movies after that.
In this clip, he really doesn't sound like he knows what movie he's talking about.
I know. And he sounds like he really doesn't care.
Yeah.
The concept is very simple. It's about a man who really loves Halloween.
but he's scared.
He is scared, and so he goes around and admonishes the children to enjoy the holiday in the spirit of the holiday without causing undue stress.
All right, that's your entertainment report today. All right, let's take a break and come back in a little bit and dive into this thing. It still looks pretty dark out. It's mainly because we're going to have cloudy skies. We're going to have some rain through the course of the morning and cooler temperatures. Temperatures are going to drop as we go through this day. So just a heads up, we're going to settling into the 50s a little bit later on. So we'll come back in a moment. Kreischer's going to be on the show this morning. A bunch of other things to get to. We'll be right back.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, beginning Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. More this year than most. We really need your help to make Camp Out a success. You can make a difference right now. Visit your local Acme during October and November and make a donation at the register when you check out. Acme will ensure your generous gift goes right to Phil Abundance to purchase food that's a lifeline for area families in need. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Camp Out for Hunger from Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
All right, yeah, let's get into this, man, yeah. Because Kathy told us something yesterday. We were having a phone conversation and, you know, discussing, you know, guests on the show today and wrapping it up and so forth.
It was at the ass end of the conversation. Oh, one more thing.
And then
Steve literally said, "Does anybody else have anything?" And I was like, oh, yeah.
And by the way, it's funny because, Preston, you didn't know prior to this, my wife and I had had a conversation and I was saying how much I hate Facebook.
Okay.
And then Kathy's story at the end of our conversation just reinforced it.
Now, yeah. With Facebook, and even if you love it or you hate it, you do know that there is a there's some etiquette involved. Standard human etiquette. And some of that would be, you know, not dragging personal. I mean, listen, people do get personal on Facebook.
Sure.
It's some of the most fun things to watch.
Yes,
breakups
that's what's so fun.
On Facebook is pretty hilarious. Unless, of course, it's tragic.
Right.
If bad things are happening. But Kath, tell us a story, because this is just... This is really a blind individual when it comes to etiquette.
This is also fun.
Yeah.
yes. So this person, and I will say, I love this person very much. And
there's no names that are going to be used.
No names whatsoever, because I do love him. I love his family, and he's had some issues, and it doesn't surprise me that this was put out there. And I think he probably doesn't quite understand that you can't do this. But basically, what he did was describe in detail all of the girls that he had sex with or had relations with in high school, and in very detailed.
Vivid detail.
And named them by first and last names.
Yes.
So we're not saying, oh, what a wonderful weekend we had at the shore. This is how many fingers were used.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean,
the type of pubic hair composition.
Right, right, yeah.
Oh, my God.
How certain bodily fluids were put in certain spots. I mean, flat out spelled.
Yeah.
Very wow. graphically.
As if he's.
On a post that he was commenting on, he didn't even start.
It wasn't a. I'm coming to terms with my life. It wasn't Preston. He was subpoenaed to deliver testimony. He's volunteering this to something that's not even his.
Yeah.
Oh, he's commenting on somebody else's.
It was a picture.
So this is living on someone else's
page.
Timeline.
Stop it.
And when you do that. And the post starts out as like this is the first phone I've had in years. You know, my young niece had to teach me how to use it. So like,
so he's new to Facebook.
Oh yeah, I think he's brand new.
Wow.
And I don't know if he doesn't know that like we can all see this.
You know what he might think? Yeah. It's just going to that person.
To that person because it was on her page or something.
Yeah,
I'm quite really possible. Sure. If he's that's possible.
But the best part about all of this is that. Was that a very good friend of mine was one of the girls that he talked about.
Oh, no.
Now, fortunately, she laughed about it. She was not upset. She just kind of was like, yeah, well, that's him.
Now,
you know?
were you mentioned
so
in this?
I was mentioned, but I didn't have sex with him. I was mentioned because he had this. Listen, he mentions the party in this post where they're certainly not playing Parcheesi came from. Remember when my mom got mad because two people were trying to have sex or were having sex on our trampoline. Well, he mentioned this party, and earlier in the day, another couple apparently had sex out in the woods. And he mentions that. And yes, he mentions my name.
Again, history proves your mother was right. They were not playing Parcheesi.
They weren't playing Parcheesi.
Parcheesi.
Okay, so does anybody jump in at any point, Kath, and say, dude, you can't write this stuff down. Like, don't do this.
This is a public forum.
This is a public forum, and you're being an a-hole.
And though it was on some, even if he wrote it on his own, just on his own timeline, I would also say, dude, you can't be naming people out like that. No. But the fact that he put it on someone else's.
Hey, thought you might want to know.
Because all of the people that are friends with that person are going to see this.
Yeah,
And associate it with them, kind of, sort of.
And by the way, it's still there.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't deleted. So she has the option to delete it. And it's not. It's still there.
That's interesting.
Have you talked to her directly?
No, we're just Facebook friends. Like, we don't really.
Okay.
I don't even have a phone number. Like,
I mean, because listen, if that were me and I saw that, I probably wouldn't publicly reach out to said person and say, hey, man, dude, take this down. Like, this is totally inappropriate.
Right, right, right.
But I would reach out to them privately. I would send them a DM.
Maybe one of those fruit things that look like a flower arranger, but it's actually fruit. Yeah.
Because I've seen things on Facebook where I'm like, I can't believe you're putting this out there on Facebook, but they're at the same time, they're not.
Listen, I don't
necessarily like naming other people and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm kind of shocked about is the naming of the people. But I will say, I don't think that he quite understands, mentally, I don't think that he understands what he's done. So I don't.
You would label it more.
If I could say I don't necessarily fault him, we just kind of found it funny because my friend thought it was funny. She wasn't offended. But these other women that are named in here, I mean, they might be some of them are married, have.
Yeah.
Kids now, like,
you're labeling it more as a very clumsy misstep as opposed to something maybe done with maliciousness?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think this is malicious at all.
Okay.
How many girls are
named
on there?
Oh, my gosh. There's tons and tons of people named. I mean, there are.
Really?
Yeah, guys' names.
Do you have any highlights? Did he make it with any guys?
No. Oh. But
was he like a good-looking dude and he just kind of went off the rails at some point?
I don't want to get into him because really, I'm telling you, he is. I love him. I love him to death. He is the sweetest person. One of my very, very good friends growing up.
I want to see if other people have had something similar happen. Maybe it was you that either posted this or someone else did about sharing graphic sex information and by name using it and posting it. Facebook, other social media gets kind of.
you know, like Twitter can get kind of
it's quick, but Facebook allows you, I think. That's why I hate Facebook. It allows so many it seems to allow many more opportunities for this kind of stuff.
See, like for me, like, all right, so Twitter is just kind of, it's random people. Like some people I know, some people I don't know. But like Facebook for me.
Hope Solo's butthole.
Facebook for me is only people that I know, right? People that I've gone to school with or worked with or played sports with.
That's it.
Yeah. And so, like, I will get Facebook requests from people that listen to the show or whatever. Yeah. But that's not for them. This, you know,
right.
And I don't.
Same here.
I don't mean to sound. I don't know how that sounds.
You're trying.
But you're not my friend, and that's for friends.
You're trying
more personal.
To.
Yeah,
you have a real life connection with a real personal relationship.
I think you just nailed the reason that I find it's that I don't go on it because I have people that I love in my life.
Yeah.
Who. Will get a platform and start going off and saying things. I'm like, well, that sounds really bad. And so you don't want to see people in that light. So I think that's why Facebook presents that way.
Some things I'm able to compartmentalize, right?
Right.
Then other things I can't. So, Kath, I don't know who this person is, but if I knew him the way that you know him and hear the way you're talking about him, okay, well, maybe I would have a little bit of sympathy. But as an outsider looking in, I'm like, this dude is a total jerk.
Right, like, well, why? Yeah.
You can't really judge until you hear some of what is written.
Right.
I wish you could read it on the air, it's too graphic. It's way too graphic.
Yeah.
I mean, it reads like a penthouse letter Playboy letters.
There's fingers and mouths and holes.
And loads.
And loads.
Oh, yeah. It's being put in places.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And fine peach fuzz hair on asses.
Yeah, so that was my best friend. He was talking about.
Oh, you don't mind sharing that? Okay.
No, she's fine with it.
She's Italian, and she has blonde, fine, like peach fuzz hair on her ass.
On her ass, yeah. And great tees.
Great tease.
That was my favorite highlight. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Of all the graphic stuff.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
The peach fuzz was fun.
Yeah.
You guys know her. Uh-huh.
In fact,
and now we
that's
really
her
know
new
her.
Nickname now. Peach fuzz. What's up, peach fuzz?
All right, Kathy. So he was very, very graphic, but he was only complimentary, right? He didn't say any bad things about anybody, right?
No case, so nothing. Like it was
the
it
glass
was,
is half full.
No, but honestly, like that's what it was. Like he was almost like reminiscing about good times.
Okay.
I already see your friend's nickname and it morphing. So it goes from Peach Fuzz to PF to PF Chang. What's up, man?
Hey.
Yo, PF Chang.
You want some lettuce wrap?
Peach Fuzz.
Oh, my God. I mean, he talks about when, like.
Can you paraphrase?
No, because I don't even know what I'm allowed to say.
Let's use some code words here so that we can.
Do you have a passage you want me to read?
Back then when girls had bushes.
Okay.
Sure. Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah. So you were. He was. He thought he was doing some blasting action, but couldn't tell because of the volume of pubes.
Right. Exactly.
Oh my God.
And so, somebody texts him. Why was he even telling this person about his sexual conquest?
Exactly.
What was the kickoff? What got
him started?
Well,
she was one of them. Okay. Nothing. There was no kickoff. There was no start. It's just.
It's a photo.
It's a photo. I think she had reached out to him to check on him, see if he was okay. And so he received a missed call from her. And I guess instead of calling her back,
He
wrote a book on her Facebook page.
I'll guarantee you thought it was like a direct message.
A DM or something.
Her.
I don't understand why it's still up.
You know what? I did that when I first got on Facebook a thousand years ago when Facebook just up. And someone had the one who de-virginized me.
Right.
I had written, I just wrote on her timeline, I just wrote, hey, what's up, de-virginator?
Oh, no.
And she got back to me. She's like, don't ever do that. This is never, ever
you
do
were
that.
Like, you didn't
I'm
know
like, what? I just thought I thought I was sending something to you. And apparently it was.
This is my school account.
For everyone to see.
Oh, my God.
And it was. And nobody would know what that meant. I mean, specifically.
I think. Yes, it's troubling, I think. But here's the deal. In that case, when I first started doing any aspect of Facebook or Twitter or whatever, I did a few tests out to see who, you know, just to make sure who actually got it. And which each icon meant and so on and so forth.
I remember when I thought Instagram was you could just put filters on pictures. I had no idea that I thought after you put the filter on it, it just like saved in a camera roll. Right. I didn't realize that it was going out publicly and people were seeing it.
Right. Here's something I've never heard of. Nick, have you ever heard of this?
Yes.
Okay. This person texted and said, if an Italian girl has peach fuzz on her ass, she's called a Bellini.
Yeah,
a
Bellini. Do you know what a Bellini is?
I know the name.
It's like it's like a champagne style of a drink, and so it's a little fuzzy. And so,
it has peach in it.
Yes, it's got a little peach in it. Yeah, but I've never heard that term applied to an ass.
I like it. Interesting. Wow.
And,
so,
and great cheese.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God.
That's, I mean, hey, thanks.
Yeah, right?
Hey, well,
right, is any of it complimentary to the person seeing these posts?
No, I don't think, that's what I mean. I don't think that there was never any... He didn't mean to be mean or anything like that. I think he was reminiscing with this girl.
Okay.
But
so
I can't imagine.
How many loads are we talking?
I can't imagine that one person named in this is actually okay with it. Like I said, my friend, I'm sure she's not happy, but like she laughed about it. She was okay with the fact that, you know, and also nobody was tagged in it. It just was.
It sounds like
just first and last names written out completely.
Dude, first and last names.
And Google Maps to their homes.
Yeah. Right.
For some good finger blasting,
yeah.
You can't go wrong with and then hear their directions.
Can you get into any kind of trouble?
Well, somebody brought that up. So one of our other friends said, can they sue him or something like that? But I mean, for what? I mean, I understand because he wrote this, but like, what are you getting out of it? Can't sue him for money.
There's no threats there.
There's no threat. Would it constitute you telling people about a sexual encounter just in general and at a party? You know, I mean, is that a violation? Is that slander? Is it liable? No, I don't think so.
No.
You know.
And what are they going to get out of it? Maybe that it's just taken down? Like,
yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know.
Yeah.
Or maybe offers from places to help you remove that ass hair.
Well, listen, she's done that already, yeah. I'm sure.
Years ago, I shared a story on air, and I'm not even going to indicate this story, but this is early on. We were still at Y100 in media. And even in the story, I didn't indicate how I knew these people. I didn't say any names, but, right. You know, anybody that knew the story knew the people. And this did not go over well. And I had to, like, I ate a lot of crow.
Yeah.
I had to make phone calls and emails. And
what did
apologize.
You do again? I'm sorry, I was reading.
I had relayed a story on our show about something that had happened. I never relayed. I mean, I didn't say names. I didn't say how I knew people.
But they knew.
But they knew, yeah. And it got to them.
I've had that happen.
And it was like, because it wasn't like a flattering story at all. But it was funny, and it was a crazy story.
I've had that happen, too. And I was like, it didn't bother. I'm like, you realize no one knows who I'm talking about but you, so
right, but
shut up.
But they don't get a say in whether or not you say that on air, you know? So, like, you're just sharing a story for you that's funny, but for them... It can be really hurtful.
Yeah, but if it's anonymous, it doesn't matter. In my mind.
Yeah, recipient's going to see it or the subject's going to see it differently.
Yeah, yeah, and I've told stories on the air that I think are funny and get back to the person. Casey, did you ever say anything on air afterwards? Were there ever any follow-ups?
No.
Okay.
No, because nothing I said was untrue.
Right.
It just wasn't a great story for the people involved.
Yeah.
And I just was like, so, but I'm glad I learned that early on that, you
know, matter how much you think you're couching it and hiding the information, it can still.
Well, maybe not everything is
up for grabs.
Is up for grabs, yeah. for me to share on the air.
Well, that's a lesson that you can that we learn in broadcasting.
Oh, yeah.
The same can be said for social media. That I think probably everyone has learned a lesson
completely
like that, where you posted something, you're like, this wasn't my intention. It turned out to be, you know, somebody didn't care for it. And then you have to weigh what that means to you after that. But these are lessons that I think that we've all learned now that everybody does have some sort of public forum. Granted, it might be smaller than others. It's still public and it could be amongst friends. But yeah, I've said things on the radio that have come back to bite me in the ass. I'm like, oh, guess I won't be doing that anymore. And so, but it's a lesson you learn. You
it
know?
Is.
You make
and
these
is.
Mistakes, and the same thing can happen in social media.
That's I would heed your advice, though, to port that over to social media. Yeah. I think honestly,
in every way possible, over-edit yourself. You will never go wrong.
Well, and there, it's different, Steve, when we say it on air because we're just telling stories, right? And we think sometimes we're just telling stories amongst ourselves. And these are just words that are coming out of our mouths. When you read the written word, that there's a difference. And so writing it on social media, writing a post down, putting it on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, there's an impact that's different when you actually see those words written in front of you.
When you see load on back.
For example.
Where the nuance is not there. Yeah.
Those ten letters.
The whimsical smile.
Oh, my God.
The sing-songy delivery.
Yeah. About the sweet medical sales rep.
The little winky face afterwards.
Oh, my God.
Were you going to share something you looked like you were hesitant?
No, I burped and somebody heard it.
Okay. I thought. All right. Hang on. Now, this is accidental stuff here. I'm going to go to Rob on the phone. Say, Rob, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Rob?
I have a pretty embarrassing story about Facebook. It wasn't physically Facebook. It was Facebook Messenger. And I do construction work, so we all have a pretty dirty mind. And so we sent pictures to her, so, you know, each other on Facebook Messenger. And one night, after a couple drinks, I guess I had pushed the button where it was a family chat and sent a dirty video to every single person in my family.
How bad was it? How on the level of, you know, 0 to 10 in really filthy stuff, how deep was it?
About 1,000.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yikes. Okay.
Yeah, so I found out because my aunt called my mother and tried to explain to her that she thinks
I know that gentleman.
She thought my Facebook got hacked. So.
Oh, you got your Facebook got hacked.
So you just lied.
Yeah. So I just said, I think that my Facebook got hacked.
Uh huh. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I know a guy that was posting some trash about his ex-wife on Twitter, and he'd been drinking.
Thanks, Rob.
Oh,
and the next day, he was like, oh, my God, my Twitter got hacked.
The hacking thing is less and less credible. It's been used a lot now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I can read the part that I mentioned in,
okay.
If you want, because this is the non-graphic part. Because you guys know I wasn't having sex at that time.
No, no, you were playing. You were actually playing.
I was playing Parcheesi in the house with my mom.
Yes.
All right. So it says then we tried at Kathy Romano's birthday party. Joe was having sex with Jane, and we were in a little wood patch, and it was light out. There was no darkness, and again she tries to sit on me, and it wasn't happening. I was so embarrassed. So that's not that bad, but that's that was my mention.
Okay.
That was
it?
My shout out. You, look, it goes on. I've read the part I could.
Kathy, is it one long post?
Yeah.
Okay.
Casey, it looks like a novella. I mean, it goes on and on and on.
And
you want me to read about my friend?
Please.
Yeah.
I think we need a little bit of this
if you're just tuning in, some of it gets really, really graphic. Like, I did this in her, and I, you know, it happened.
I don't even know that I can read this. So we were in the living room. It was dark. There were other people there. She had great tease, too.
Yeah. That's how you do it.
Can I read that, Steve?
Let Steve read it.
No. You say it.
Okay.
So I had a boner and she was manually stimulating.
Okay, yeah. Okay. She's Italian.
But much more graphic than that.
Yeah, okay. She's Italian. She had those fine blonde hairs on her ass.
But it was dark. How did he know there were blonde hairs?
But I have to imagine the mind of this guy who say is very sweet and have been nothing but complimentary of you love him to death. But I have to hatch. I think I'm going to include this part. You know, in other words, what didn't make the editorial process?
Yeah.
At what point did he say, no, I can't include that?
But at the end, he does say, oh, geez, I hope you're not mad at me for this.
What?
So he has a moral compass, you know? He doesn't want to offend her.
Yeah.
But you know what? Should I include gangbanging the dog?
No.
Leave that out.
That's too much.
We promise never to talk
about it. Gosh, I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Seriously.
I've never seen anybody post anything like that. I mean, from my old school friends, I've never seen anybody mention trysts or even lightly. Even you know, I mean,
Preston, that's penthouse form.
Yeah.
That's penthouse form. And even penthouse form would be a little bit more euphemistic.
Wow. Hang on. I'm going to go to Monica. Hi, Monica. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Monica?
I wanted to say that my friend accidentally posted a Facebook Live of himself pleasuring.
Oh, no!
Oh, my God.
Oh,
God. How do you do that?
Wow. Okay. Question.
My account was hacked.
Question. It was Monica, did he not know? Was it a guy?
Yes.
Okay. Did he not know that he was filming himself? Did that happen by accident? Or is this like video that he had made and accidentally put it on Facebook?
He thought he's not very good with electronics, and he thought he was sending a video to his girlfriend privately.
Okay, so he made the video on purpose. I wasn't sure if he accidentally
was
hit
going
live.
And ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, Dave is going live with something. Let's see what it is.
So, first of all, I'm curious how long something like that would last before it's taken off.
Oh, it was on all day.
Oh.
He could not take it off. He didn't know how to delete stuff. Everybody was trying to teach him. We couldn't get a hold of him.
Oh, my God.
Was his face visible in it?
Yes.
Oh,
oh man! Oh. That's
like so there's really there's no way where you can go. Oh my God! Someone must have had. No, please understand that someone hacked into my account and got one of my self pleasuring videos. It's like, well, no, that doesn't work either.
He had to delete his account altogether in the end because they couldn't.
Yeah.
Facebook wouldn't message him back on how to get rid of it, so that he just had to delete it and start a new Facebook.
Wow. Facebook wouldn't even help him get
everybody was reporting it, and it just wouldn't go away.
That's such a crock of crap.
Okay. Thank you, Monica. Yeah.
Sure. You know what? Remember the scam that was going around, and it still pops up now and then. You'll get an email. It was in the I saw a report on the news a couple times, too. I got one where they say we've hacked into your camera on your computer.
Oh, right.
And we have videos of you taking care of yourself.
I've never seen that. No.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so if you don't send Bitcoin, was what they were asking for.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Get that to them.
And I said, of course, yeah.
Steve, my it happened to my dad. He called me because he was so worried about it. And he was like, I've never done this. I don't know what they're talking about. But like, it's an effective scam because they have your full name.
Right.
And they say, have you ever done this thing? We have a record of you doing it. And they have somehow found ways to like hack portions of your passwords.
So what they do is I always use super. I have LifeLock. I have everything out of the yin yang. They managed to get one thing of an account that I never use and paired it with a quasi version of a. And that's how I knew it was completely.
Yeah.
You know,
but I could see someone.
I have hours of self-pleasuring videos.
Yeah.
And I said, you can buy them on my OnlyFans page.
Here's my DVD.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go to Brian here. Brian, you're on the air, man.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, bud.
It doesn't really have anything to do with social media, but it was more of a text mishap.
Okay.
I was at work and I was texting a group message to my, high school buddies or whatever, and then also simultaneously texting my girlfriend at the time. And when I was texting my girlfriend, we were talking about pretty much everything under the sun that you could think of. And
sexually, you're saying,
going
right?
Back and forth, going back and forth between the two text messages. And I just got done texting this huge novel that was supposed to go to my girlfriend at the time, but I sent it to the group message.
Oh, no!
I didn't realize till about, 5 minutes later, and I'm thinking I'm supposed to get a message back from her. And I check my phone, and then I realize who I sent it to. Was like, oh my God! And I just got roasted.
Sure,
of course.
What's the procedure with recalling a message? And can you recall a message?
Not a text message.
No, Brian, once it's sent out, it's sent.
The group text. What was the makeup of that group? Guys and girls, just guys.
Clergy members.
All right, at least it was just guys, right?
Yeah. it was all kinds of stuff. Butt stuff, fingers.
All right, thank you, Brian. Appreciate
you know what?
It.
It used to be Preston, and I was just remembered of this because I was going through some of the audio files. The who's the dude from Extra who left the message?
Oh, Pat O'Brien?
Pat O'Brien.
Yeah.
Messages on answering machines, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And then all of that stuff. And then it that would be the way that this would leak out. Now you have many more opportunities to hit the wrong button and F up.
Kathy said the last caller mentioned all kind of butt stuff. Was any butt stuff mentioned in his? Did he ever get there?
No, there was no butt stuff mentioned because, he was talking about high school sex, so I don't know. Are you into butt stuff then?
You're into anything. Yeah.
Okay.
You're
into
anything. Anything
you
that's
know
open.
Me, I wasn't having
sex. Peach Fuzz is on the hotline.
No way. Great.
Yes, seriously. So let's go. Yo, P.F. Chang, what's up?
Yes. Thankfully, laser hair removal has solved
yes,
all.
Right?
Listen, in your defense, I will say that the Peach Fuzz, my wife, has, you know, not that she's got a delightful little derriere that
got a hairy ass.
No, but there's a nice
little fuzz,
soft, and I happen to think it's wonderful. So,
all right, yeah. So we'll leave your name out of this. I guess Kathy's been leaving. Does it matter at this point?
No, yes, I didn't say her name.
Like everybody doesn't know it's me. It's fine. Who cares?
All right. So Alicia, what do you find this? You think it's funny?
You know what? It's almost shocking to me because I keep getting mentioned and shouted out, and like it's jaw dropping. Honestly, the level of detail like that he's also remembering in these occurrences, and I was only part of this whole rant, this whole sex rant, just like one or two times, but it's like. What is going on here? I'm actually shocked that this is happening. I feel bad for the guy, so I'm not going to get angry or whatever. But
okay.
Do you concur with Kathy's take that he's a lovable guy and was just maybe a really lumbering sort of attempt at invest himself of participating in a conversation and he played it wrong?
100%. This guy is the sweetest, nicest, like. Hmm. You know, he's just now sober, so he's reemerging into, you know, socializing, and these are the memories that he has. And yeah, he just wants to talk and rant, and I don't think there's any ill intent behind it. And that's why, like I said, I can't be mad about it. Because
Well, that's very accommodating.
That is.
Beach Fuzz, do you have any memories of that night? Like, is anything that he wrote down that jar any memories for you?
I mean, he's pretty. Spot on. I mean, I would have not remembered that had he not just laid it out in every single detail. I mean, from like
you would have not remembered pleasure.
And also remember, you got stellar reviews on everything. Yeah. So not for anything.
Yeah,
but
your Yelp score is amazing.
Your body got a great review. Your attention it was excellent.
He said her teas were good, and we're on a text chain with some friends, and she said, well, you should see them. Now,
but it's fine. It like I said, and again, it noted. I don't know how much of it Kathy read. You know, I did not go all the way. I don't know if we've covered that.
Yep. But, no, we did.
But exactly. what we were saying was some these poor other people, these other girls that we went to school with, who are named and there's more detail than what he described for you. And I'm just thinking of
as liberal in their thinking.
Well, and like a few, like, you know, I know one girl is married, has two sons, like, oh my, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, her husband saw, or even anybody, who cares? It was when they were in high school. Dear God.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty detailed also, like, again, taking me out of the equation because mine was pretty innocent. It's pretty detailed in those other girls, like, what he's saying. And for high school, it's pretty, like, forward.
And, it is. That's what kind of caught, I mean, when Kathy brought it up and started to raise the narrative here. And then the graphic nature, you know, it's almost like a Christmas story meets Penthouse, you know, like fond memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. It's pretty shocking. And I think what I've learned is I'm not before of these, you know, when he would post and say and mention people's names, I would like and comment, you know, because I felt bad and I wanted to show him support. Now I am not liking or commenting anything in hopes of, because that comes up in my feed if I'm liking it. So God forbid, you know, my coworkers or someone gets wind of these crazy posts. I don't want that.
So she's talking about, there have been other times where he'll tag people and nothing like this at all. Mostly just saying, saying, like, he's so proud of the people he knows who, you know, like, you know, me, I'm on the radio
station.
No, stop it. No, but like some of our friends that have, you know, have done things. My friend Nick, who was in here a few months ago, who
the
has
chef.
That show, on the chef who has the show on Netflix, he'll tag him and say, you know, it's great watching you. I'm so proud of you. They're actually nice. But just the way it's written, it's like effing this. And, you know,
yeah.
you're like, I don't know if I want that on my newsfeed.
No, you have to remember that. So that also reminds people of the protocol involved in Facebook. And when you like certain things, who sees that you like those certain
right.
things? And when you comment on other things,
yeah.
who is able to see that as well?
Yeah,
same thing
generates.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Wow.
Well, one of mine, though, just really quickly, is I posted one of my Fox clips, and I've got Jarek tagged, Alex tagged, the entire crew. He commented an entire paragraph, like Kathy said, with curse words and all this stuff, with all of them tagged in it.
Interesting. Wow. I, well, if anything comes from this, it's a great new nickname, Elisa. So
come on.
Peach Fuzz.
I think, listen, it's endearing.
Have it anymore.
There you go.
Yeah, I know you don't, go. But you always will in our minds.
Yes.
All right. Have a good week.
Bye, you guys.
See a peach fuzz. Wow. Okay. It's very interesting. It's really, really graphic. And it's funny because, in a sense that, you know, obviously those days meant a lot to him and that
yep.
he remembers them in fond,
yeah.
vivid detail.
Yeah. Yep. Sure does.
Wow. Okay.
I remember waiting for my decoder ring when I was finger blasting a neighbor.
Yep. All right. Thank you for sharing. We need to take a break and come back. We're going to get into the bizarre file, and we're also going to talk to a guy that has done some great work to help us out at the Camp Out for Hunger and is going to do the same thing this year, and you might want to be a part of what he's got planned. So we'll come back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Tala. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com. Keyword, local shots. Tala, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Man, do I have some stories for you. Let's get to them.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Sponsored by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. Well, a UK man has been charged with assault after allegedly farting in an Uber and attacking the driver for protesting about it.
So he farts, the driver takes issue with it, and that begins a fight.
That's correct. The defense lawyer, Anthony Bignall, had told the Bristol Crown Court about his client's behavior, saying he behaved in an unattractive manner that night. The odiferous incident had reportedly occurred when James Mallett let rip in the back of the ride while on the way to a local nightclub with three other people. And this was the final straw for the Uber driver named Alexander Bonchev, who had allegedly suffered abuse at the hands of other passengers.
So he had had a bad evening.
Yeah, prosecutor James Scott. I think these guys were being
okay,
obnoxious.
I got it. I was wondering, you know, if for example, it was an accidental fart, but this seems to be an aggressive fart.
Prosecutor James Scott said Bonchev told Mallett to leave the vehicle, whereupon the flatulent fare offered to fight the driver and struck him in the head. Bonchev reportedly responded in defense by punching Mallett in the face, knocking him to the ground. At that point, a young lady who was with Mallett reportedly persuaded him to leave. Police encouraged the unruly passenger. A little while later, sporting a cut on his bottom lip, he was plainly intoxicated, they said. Scott told the court that Mallett was abusive to police as well. Nonetheless, Bignall said his client has been described as a polite, helpful, well-behaved, and courteous man.
Would you describe the fart for the court? Was it a squeaker?
Fortunately, he admitted to assault occasioning actual harm, which landed him a 6 month jail term, $650 fine, 120 hours community service. It was one of those.
Those are funny.
They are funny.
The order had proven worse for Bonchev, the driver. He was unable to work due to a broken finger sustained during the fight. So, yeah, he lost his Uber job, too. Employees at a Dollar General store in Martin, Kentucky, had a pretty testy shopper pay them a visit Wednesday morning, and the claws came out quite literally. A bobcat was found inside the store near the deodorant aisle. Police were able to safely capture it and remove it from the store. Thankfully, no employees or customers were injured, and neither was the bobcat, who was released into the wild.
That'd freak out. They have a bobcat at the Elmwood Zoo. It's gorgeous.
Dollar General did not immediately respond for comment. Okay, here we go. California man who put his semen in a female co-worker's water bottle.
Come
on, man.
And a jar of honey and on her computer's keyboard has been jailed for 2.5 years. Stevens Melicastro was convicted of sexual battery for sexual purposes. He was sentenced to serve time in jail on Tuesday.
Does this guy have a Facebook account?
He's thinking the same thing, man.
Melicastro was obsessed with his co-worker and stared at her incessantly after she had turned him down for a date. Authorities said the woman reported the issue to her boss, who spoke to Melicastro, but he didn't stop his unwanted behavior.
I know how to win her over.
The woman then filed a formal human resources complaint, which led to Melicastro using his semen to get back at her.
It's horrific.
He placed it several times in her half-full water bottle, which she noticed as a cloudy substance.
Dear God.
Also in a jar of honey she used for tea and on her computer keyboard. Authorities said the woman noticed a milky white substance in her water bottle on several occasions. The wholesale business then set up a set of surveillance cameras to face the victim's desk. And after one of the incidents, she asked her boss to look over the footage. In the video, Melicastro was seen smearing it on her keyboard and mouse.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. And he did this because he likes her?
Yeah, he
did because he likes her. But you know the bizarre, contorted minds that some of these people have.
She turned him down for a date, so, you know, this is him getting back at her. How dare
I know how to woo her.
Investigators later confirmed that it was his in her water bottle and honey. The victim consumed the honey for a period of time, not knowing.
There's semen in the honey over there.
His attorney agreed that his client engaged in highly inappropriate behavior.
Well, what if he's diseased?
But he was ordered to register as a sex offender after the court rejected an argument that his client committed the crimes as an act of revenge rather than of sexual gratification. So, dude is going to jail for that.
2 years plus, you said, right?
Yep. All right, and then one last story. This is a follow-up. Killer whales off the coast of Spain are living up to their name, but instead of targeting great white sharks, pods of fish, or seals, they have done, as they've done in the past, they're now after people's boats. I covered this story a little while back, but there's a follow-up to this.
Have they figured out why?
Several scientists think the killers of the deep are attacking yachts and boats due to injuries several of them sustained over the summer from rudders.
So they see the boats as aggressors.
They're getting back.
That does make sense. And because they're Spanish killer whales, they use castanets, correct?
Yes, they do. And it sounds lovely. There have been at least 33 of the bizarre attacks in northern Spain, in the Straits of Gibraltar, and off Portugal since July, in which the orcas surround small craft and deliberately ram the ship's rudders and attempt to tip them over.
Well, that makes sense. They see them as a threat.
The attacks have caused severe damage and, in some cases, disabled the ships. The problem has become so severe, authorities are warning small craft not to sail in those seas.
Oof.
The trigger, this is an expert said, the trigger for this strange and aggressive behavior could have been an adverse incident that the orcas had with the boat, and in which the speed of the boat could have been a critical factor.
Do they believe?
For the moment, we have no clear evidence of when it happened, nor can we say for sure what kind of boat may have been involved. The researchers added that as a result of possible injury by boat, the orcas may have felt compelled to act when they saw a sailboat in order to slow it down by going after its rudder.
Do they believe these whales are all part of the same pod?
They don't know.
Okay.
Because it's in a wide area.
Yeah.
So terrified boat owners were not consoled by the news. So,
no.
Wow. And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File. All right. Camp Out for Hunger is coming up on the 16th of November.
Earlier.
2 weeks earlier than we normally have it. But and this is so true to form, people have been coming forward who have been involved in the past and want to help out again. And one of the things that's been going on for several years is the Porsche Club of Philadelphia having their Philafrunk event. The frunk is a front trunk.
Right.
Last year it turned into a complete car show.
Which was fantastic.
Absolutely. And they want to do it again. And we have the man who's behind it all. He is the president of the Porsche Club of America, the Philadelphia region. Jeff Walton is on.
Yeah.
Yo, Jeff.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic now that I got my rebate check from my insurance company. I can buy one extra jar of peanut butter for Philatrunk.
Very good. All right, so I said Philafrunk, but is it now Philatrunk?
Yes, Philatrunk, because we invited all car clubs from the Delaware Valley to participate now.
So, right. Jeff, last year, and it's the first year, and it was, honestly, I was looking forward to the big... year two for the event. There was a band. It was great. I mean, there was just it was a car lover's dream, and even just people, you know, who like cars. It was just great. And here we are, year two, and kind of had to immediately modify the success that was last year.
Yes, we had 27 car clubs last year, over 800 cars. I think we brought a total of 162,000 pounds of food with us.
Jeez.
So this year we scaled it back. Well, not participation. We want as much participation in the Delaware Valley as possible. If you have a car club, I don't care what it is, it's Tesla owners or Ferraris, you come down, Volkswagens, you name it. We have the Mini Coopers now. But so we're going to meet. We have staging times now, and we're going to meet in Wells Fargo parking lot. You either drive down as a entire club, or you meet your club down in the parking lot, and then, you know, a couple minutes later, we'll drive over to Xfinity Live and drop off everything for us.
So the event as it was its first year, the whole idea was that over the course of campouts prior to this, when you guys would show up, it'd be so amazing, but it would, you know, it'd stall everything because there was just so much happening and people couldn't get in. We said, let's make this a separate event. Let's make this work this way. And I think this is a good fix. Hopefully, you know, we can be back to a better situation next year.
Yeah.
So everyone's in. And when I walked around that event, every type of car was represented. So if you and your neighbor have one particular type of car, call yourselves a club and participate because it's an amazing thing.
Yeah, I don't care if it's, you know, there's a lot of cars and coffees around. So if you guys get together every Saturday, well, hey, on Sunday, why don't you, instead of getting together on Sunday, come on Saturday, grab your gear and come on down and unload for camp out. Because, you know, now more than ever, our neighbors, the hospitality industry has got wrecked, and we need to help those guys because I used to come from that company, you know, from that area, and a lot of those people live paycheck to paycheck, and you know, there's just so many more people who need food.
Hey,
so
Jeff, by the way, is it going to be on Sunday, November 15th?
We're kicking off your event. We're going to be from 10 to about 4:30 or so.
Okay.
Even if you don't have a car club, we're open. We're going to have boxes there to take food on your behalf, just in case people can't get there during the week. And, you know, again, this eliminates 200 cars coming on a Wednesday night during the rain.
Yeah.
And you guys can get to sleep a little earlier because I think you're closing down a little earlier now.
Yeah, we've modified the event is, and we haven't spelled out the absolute specifics, but it's more of a drive-up, drive-through. There's going to be fun things happening, but it's not going to be a tent jam full of people. We can't do that. We're obviously within the city restrictions, and we have to be minding everything. We don't want it shut down because this needs to happen. As you eloquently pointed out, this year more than ever, we need for this one to come off successfully. So, we're wrapping up at 7, and then we have some after dark things that we're doing. You know, that'll be online. But this sounds like a great fix to make sure this happens and happens in a way that's safe and still gets that food out there.
Yeah. And we've been talking with Phil Abundance and how they're going to unload and everything. And, you know, we're going to have signs everywhere. You know, don't get out of your car. The volunteers will take everything. Just things of that nature. And we are also going to weigh each individual car club. I know you might be getting away from that down the road, but, you know, we're going to weigh each car club because all the car clubs are national. Hey, what did we do last year?
Right.
This year.
Yep.
So, I mean, we have Corvette clubs. We have, you know, every type of club, Audi club and Mopar. And of course, we have Jackson's Jeep club and our Delaware Valley Porsche clubs. And so it's going to be a good time.
I want to see a more formidable showing from the Audi club. Last year, there was just a couple, and I think there should maybe I'll come down and join with you know.
Do. Yeah. Are you involved in the Audi club?
But no, but I assume one would adopt me if I
I think so.
If I put the call out. So
yeah. I think Audis are scheduled right around 1 o'clock.
Yeah, awesome, awesome.
All right, so here's what you do. We have the details all spelled out at WMMR.com or PrestonandSteve.com. Either one, it's easy to see. It says fill a trunk, a literal food drive, because you are going to be driving this there. And Jeff is stuck with this and really been the driving force and not only organizing it, but coming up with new ideas to help this keep increasing in size. And it's really an awesome thing that you do. And it's great to see all the car clubs coming together. It's not just separate clubs. They're doing it as just proud car owners. And I think it's a really cool thing. And it's a very social thing as well. And obviously everybody's going to be masked up and following the proper protocols. So we just wanted to get that out there, that it is indeed happening. And it will be on Sunday, November 15th. So get the details. Get your club together. You got time to do it. We're still a few weeks away, and it should be a lot of fun. So we're looking forward to it.
And again, you guys did an excellent job of broadcasting it right before the event too. So cool. We thank you for that. And again, any car club, any car, you just can't get down there during the week. Come on down during the weekend. We're the kickoff event, and we will help you guys out. And
excellent.
Full abundance.
We'll
do
the best this way this year, and then hopefully next year do what you did the first year, because it was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, have a great weekend, man.
Hey,
it's good to talk to you. All right,
thank
see you. President of the Porsche Club of America, Philadelphia region. And even if you're just not just a car club person, if you're a car fan,
oh my God.
You can come down and, he mentioned a few of them. But, yes, there will be, that gigantic Porsche club, and there's a Ferrari club.
Yeah, I never you never saw
Mustangs, BMWs, and these people mod out their vehicles and things. It's great.
You never saw Jackson as happy at this event with the Jeep guys, and then they had I think they had two McLarens there.
Yeah,
and it was really something to see.
Yeah, excellent. All right, happy to hear that is happening. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Around 9, our buddy Kreischer is going to be on.
Yeah.
Some other things. I think we're going to play a game here. I think I get to play a game.
I did it so you could play.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A couple things going on here. We're a little light on prizes this week, and we wanted to play a game. And I never get to play a game. So Steve has come up with a game that I get to play.
Yeah.
And we get to have a good time doing that. But I tell you what, even though we don't have much as far as prizes to give away, at the end of this particular segment, of which there will be no prizes given away for the game, I do have something that you can call in and win.
Oh, all right.
So make sure you hang close, because we'll do that. Yeah, we're just doing this for fun, Kevin.
That's what I thought. Yep. That's what I thought.
All right. So, Steve, you want to tell us about the game, please?
Well, I'm nowhere near as good a game guy as you are, but I heard you bemoaning the fact, and it's right, you never actually get to play the games. So I came up with a game called Second Fiddle. And Second Fiddle pertains to those second characters, those supporting characters, those tertiary characters on shows that, and movies that maybe they're, you know, that they've caught your attention
or
they've become known.
Yeah.
Sometimes you hear a character and you never know they had a full name. And so I'm going to parse out how I deliver these as far as, you know, I'll make it a little bit competitive. Some of these are very obvious. And some of them you may know, you know, as I give you the second and third clue.
Okay.
So I won't tell you initially whether it's a television show or a movie. And if you don't get it, I'll move on to the second clue. But I think there's a lot of these.
Are we guessing the name?
So here's the deal. Okay. You'll start off. You'll give us a name.
I'm going to give you the name.
And then and you have to if guess. You know the answer, we're going to buzz in. We have these
exactly.
sounders here. So I'm going to play. This is mine.
It's my favorite.
This is Casey. Hold the little speakers on the bottom of you. Hold it up. There. That's Kathy. Wait, do you have the same one?
No. Casey did it twice. Again. That's mine.
That's Kathy, and that's Nick.
Okay. Kathy hates these buzzers, by the way.
So Steve will give the name. We buzz. If nobody buzzes in, you will then follow it up.
With a second clue.
With a second clue.
And I'll decide what clues and how I'm going to parse them out.
Okay, and then we need somebody to keep score. Connor?
Moose!
All right, Moose is going to keep score. All right.
All right.
Let's play second fiddle.
All right. I'm going to give you the first name. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, Kathy, you're not looking at the list, are you? Okay.
I can't.
I know you like to cheat. Okay. First name is Joseph Pulaski. Joseph Pulaski.
This is going to be easy.
This is from a movie.
Okay.
You might know the nickname Joseph Blue Pulaski.
Oh. I think that was Casey. That
no, I don't know it. I actually.
Oh,
it was,
okay. Did anybody else buzz in?
No.
Oh, it was me.
Oh,
old school.
Yes, exactly.
You.
Right.
Blue. Oh, you're the boy, Blue. Damn it.
Holy cannoli, I got one. I want you to win this one, Preston.
Thank you, Steve.
So, Preston, right. Actually, I think you're going to be really good at this because you are so good at remembering people's names from movies. I will go through an entire movie, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the guy that Kevin Bacon played.
Casey, same thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember, like, the most common name that would be in a movie. I
kept that in mind, so I tried to hit ones that you might get. I get some sitcom stuff for you.
All right.
Some movies that I've heard you talk about, and
cool.
Nick. All right, so we'll go through.
All right.
The next name, second fiddle, Pedro Sanchez.
Oh.
Yep. That's Nick.
Is that Major League?
Preston?
That's Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah. Thank you.
I got two.
Wow.
Not only that, you picked a violin sound.
Thank you.
All right.
Actually, Marissa did. I helped. All right, she did.
Well, Marissa's always the best. Mm-hmm. All right, name number three.
Okay.
Harry Dunn.
That's Dumb and Dumber.
Nice job, right. Casey. Second fiddle is the name of the game. Secondary characters, by the way.
All right. This next second fiddle, named Lucius Fox.
Oh, I know that one.
Nick?
That's Batman Begins, Dark Knight Trilogy. It's Morgan Freeman.
Yes! I think everybody's on the board except for Kathy, right?
I think
yes.
You're right.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, Kathy just had a huge sex scandal revealed this morning.
That's right.
She's still dealing with that. The next name up, Walter Sobchak. Walter Sobchak.
Wow.
And I'm sorry, Steve, you said this is movies and TV shows?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the clue now. Yes, okay. Movies and TV shows. Walter Sobchak. All right, we'll give you a second clue. Movie. Walter Sobchak. Movie.
Nope.
Third clue. Coen Brothers.
Nick.
Big Lebowski.
Ah.
Nice.
Who is it? It's Buscemi.
It's,
shut the F up, Walter.
John Goodman, right?
Well done.
No, he's talking to Walter.
No, his name's Donnie.
Yeah. Oh, shut the F up. Walter Donnie. Says it to Donnie. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
John Goodman.
All right.
All right. Let's see how quickly you are on this one. Sala.
Oh.
Sala. Nick?
Coming to America?
No.
All right, so can now Nick not
I'm
answer
out.
Since you're out?
Nick okay. Not only cannot answer, he has to turn his head to the corner okay. And stand there a la Blair Witch Project. No, yeah.
I know this one, but I'm going to need another clue. I'm almost there.
Movie?
I'm almost there. Okay.
Sala, movie, series, Steven Spielberg.
That is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Bad dates.
That's right.
That's Sala, right?
Yeah. Okay.
He's a great character. Yeah,
he's
I love great. Him in the series.
Yeah. So he was excellent.
John Rhys Davies.
And he's the troll in Lord of the Rings?
In Lord of the Rings, yeah. He's a good second fiddle.
Yeah, he's Gimli, right?
Gimli.
Bad dates.
If you're just tuning in, we're playing Second Fiddle. Steve has come up with these list of secondary characters from movies and TV shows, and we have to guess by their name, by their character's name, and maybe a clue.
It's one of those things like
what
you did
show or movie is
with
it?
The ad contest is you take the phrase out of context and
right.
be like, oh, okay. The next name is Silvio Dante.
Okay.
I know this one, too. I didn't even watch that show.
Usual Suspects.
No.
Damn it.
Nick?
The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Little Steven.
Who
Steven's
am I thinking
character.
Of?
What did you say?
Silvio Dante.
No, I mean, what did you say?
Usual Suspects.
Oh, you're thinking of Kaiser Sose.
Damn it.
Silvio Dante, meet Kaiser Sose. Sose Kaiser yeah. Sose, Silvio Dante.
Oprah Uma. Uma Oprah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
All right, the next name. Titus Andromedon. Nick?
The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Wow.
And by my reckoning, the series Breakaway star.
Yeah,
he's just hilarious.
Okay, I know who you're talking. He's hilarious.
Yes.
He's bald.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think his real name is Titus. Maybe
probably,
I'm
yeah. But that's, the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
All right. Jenna Maroney.
Man, that sounds familiar.
Nick?
30 Rock.
Wow, Nick, getting it again.
Should we check where we are right now in score?
We got it up here. Nick's
there we go.
Lead.
And for the record, Kathy has put her buzzer down.
Oh, sorry. No, I got it. I'm here. I'm good.
I said, Nick,
I should host these because I can't compete with you guys in this. So I should be the one hosting it. That way Steve can play.
Besides, she's updating the load count on that last email.
Stop it.
How many loads now?
Nick has 5. I have 3. Casey's got 1. Kathy with nil.
All right. The next one up, the name is Jim Hopper.
I know.
Man.
Yeah. Stranger Things.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right. I think we play a little ditty for you there.
I like that one.
Second fiddle.
I'm looking forward to Black Widow movie,
yeah.
which she's in, and then Stranger Things coming out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next name up. Kathy, pick up your buzzer for this one. I think you might be in it.
Okay.
Kimmy Gibbler.
Full House.
Full House and Fuller House, technically.
That's right.
All right, the next name up. Nellie Olson.
Aw, oh, man.
Preston. Little House on the Prairie. Nellie was a hardcore bitch.
Yeah.
Oh. You wanted her dead.
Yes, you did.
They should have had her in the town when they blew it up, tied to the hitching post or something.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, so the next, I'm going to give you the name without the nickname that you probably know, but we're going to go for it.
Okay.
Dorothy Lemure.
I know this one, too. And
Dorothy?
I know. Casey?
I'm going to go with Golden Girls. Nah.
No. Nick?
A League of Their Own?
No. Do you want the clue?
Yep. You and me, Romano.
Yeah, it is.
6, Dorothy Lemure.
6? Oh! Blossom!
Yeah! Get that!
Wow. I'm losing!
You are officially losing.
You didn't know she had a full name, did you?
No.
I was thinking, I'm like, 6?
6.
There's 6 of them?
Oh. She always had a crush on Joey, right?
Yes.
Yes. All right. The next name.
All right.
Everyone get on their buzzers. Ben Linus. Nick?
That is Michael Emerson in the TV show Lost.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. Great character.
Well done. Yeah. I was thinking of him the other day because initially he had said his name was Gale. His last name was Gale.
Yeah.
He lied about it, and it was a reference to Alice in Wonderland, because he could come in, not Alice
Wizard
in Wonderland,
of
Wizard of Oz, because he could come in on a hot air balloon.
Yeah. Right. He actually is in a great show on CBS that I hope comes, I think it's coming back. It's called Evil. Preston, you would dig this show.
Yeah. Okay.
And he is properly evil in the show.
Yeah, he's nice. One of those guys, Steve, we talked a while back about people that get angry on the street at actors
for
playing a certain character.
He must get that all the time.
He got it all the time, yeah.
All right, so the next character up, again, television shows and movies, Winston.
Nick.
Ghostbusters?
No, not the one that I mean, you know, obviously there could be other characters, but the one I have here, I'm going to give you a clue. It is a movie, so that would be Ghostbusters. A trilogy. Winston.
Mm. Wow. No, I'm drawing a blank on
Keanu it. Keanu Reeves. Preston?
John Wick. Thank you.
Winston runs the Continental.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's...
I hate this game.
What's the actor's name?
Ian McShane.
Love him. Yeah. Okay.
All right. The next name up. Everybody on this. Kathy, I think you might have a shot here.
Okay.
Lucius Best.
Never mind. You said Lucius, and I was going Malfoy, and that's Harry Potter, but that is incorrect.
Lucius Best. You still want to... So you're saying no? Okay, on that. Anybody else? Lucius Best?
Uh-huh.
Lucius Best? It is a movie. Lucius Best? It is an animated movie.
Huh.
It is a movie Michael Giacchino did the score for.
Oh.
Coco?
No. Preston?
Up.
No.
Da! The Incredibles?
Yes!
Ah! Lucius is from Zone.
Yeah.
Damn it!
Yeah.
Ah. Nick's killing us. 8-5, me. Kathy's got 2. Casey's got 1. It's Butzko versus Delco over again.
No, it's not! It's Delco versus the world! And by the way, Nick is Delco now, so,
So
Delco's
winning.
In the lead.
Delco's
in the lead, mofo.
7.
By simple attrition. All right, we're playing a game called Second Fiddle, secondary characters from movies and TV shows. Let's see what we can get them.
Next name up, Ron Swanson.
Wow.
Nick?
Parks and Rec.
Nice. Wow. I don't watch that show.
Me neither.
All right. Next name up again. Barney Stinson.
Casey.
Simpsons?
No.
Fudge.
Nick?
How I Met Your Mother?
Wow.
Doogie Howser, right?
Yes.
Is Neil that
Patrick
who that is?
Harris.
All right. Delco's winning.
Yeah.
I got to somehow
Phoenix
attach
Phil
myself
is not
to this.
Delco.
Oh, shut the F up.
All right, we're up to 20, actually 19 right now.
Okay.
You should get this. Domino. Preston?
Deadpool.
Deadpool 2.
Two. Yeah,
actually, I dance a little jig.
That's awesome. Because he won.
Uh-huh.
All right.
All right.
Sean Hunter. Sean Hunter. I thought you would get this, Case.
I don't know names.
Sean Hunter.
Okay.
TV show. Sitcom.
I don't watch sitcom.
Fred Savage's brother.
This is me, definitely.
Yep.
It's Boy Meets World. Okay.
Boy Meets World?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not Fred Savage.
Yeah.
The Savage.
Yeah, he said Fred Savage's brother.
My bad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I gotcha. I thought he meant on the show, the character's
brother.
Which...
Not right next to each other. Yeah, no.
Kathy. All right. So Casey 2, Kathy 2, Nick 10, and Preston 6.
All right.
Vinny Delpino.
Oh.
That's Doogie Howser.
Yes.
Yo, Vin.
That's right.
That guy ended up on The Sopranos, that actor.
Did it? Yes,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. He also has a bit part in the De Niro movie where he goes to Billy Crystal.
Oh, analyze this.
Yeah, they're about to beat him to death, and De Niro's character can't bring himself to do it.
Right.
He keeps going, like this. That's Vin. All right, next.
All right, I don't know if any of you will get this, but I would have gotten it.
Okay.
Willow Rosenberg.
Willow Rosenberg.
It is a TV show. Preston?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
How about it?
That was Allison Hannigan. I didn't even watch that show, but I did know that she played that character, Willow.
God, I love that show. Mm. So good. All right, next name up. I think you're all on this. Al Borland.
I heard Nick first.
That's Home Improvement.
Oh, Al, his sidekick.
I'm sorry.
No, let me. It's called Second Fiddle.
Second Fiddle.
We need to play the fiddle.
We have four left. Jesse Pinkman.
Breaking Bad.
Nice, Casey.
That's a gimme, right?
Jesse Pinkman.
Yep, well done.
You ever watch that, Kat? Breaking Bad?
Nope. I never got into it.
Mm. All right, the next name, Podrick Payne. Preston?
Game of Thrones.
Oh!
Pod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He hangs out with the tall lady. Brienne of Tarth?
They do eventually. He spends a lot of time with Tyrion.
He's described as a noble squire.
Yes, exactly. He's Tyrion squire, yeah.
Okay, all so right. He hangs out with Brianna Frost sometimes?
Not Brianna Frost. Okay. Yeah. Brianna of Tarth.
Same thing.
I'm an ass man.
One of them does porn.
All right. I'm going to give you the name, then I'll give you the other clues. The full name, or the regular name, Matthew Mara.
Matthew Mara?
Matthew Mara. Oh. It is a TV show. His nickname with his full name, Matthew Rickety Cricket.
That's me, right?
Yeah.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Hey! Hey, nice!
How many more questions?
One.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right, the last name here.
This one is worth, Preston, for you.
It's worth 34 points. Anyone can take it on this 30-point question.
All right.
Jeffrey Butler.
Oh, no, man.
That's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah,
it is. His last name was actually Butler.
Yeah. Nice job. Nick McElwain, the champion. With 41 points, because that last one was worth 30.
Yeah. Hey, did you say that there was a bonus or no?
No.
Oh, no. I thought
that was it.
No, that's my game that we're eventually going to play, which I'm going to use this time to plug and solicit for. But anyway, Steve Morrison, thank you for coming up in the game. Second Fiddle. Let's give Steve a little dance music so he can enjoy.
There he goes.
Nice moves,
dude. Thank you.
Well, I was born in the mountains.
No, that was fun. So listen, I'm glad you did mention that, Casey, because I've come up with a game for the listeners that I want to try out. And we needed to pick a category to start this off with. So I had an idea. I've run into so many people who think that they are, or they are a self-proclaimed expert.
Yes.
In whatever category it may be. It could be anything. And I was trying to think of how we could maybe turn this into a game. So we're going to do this very thing. And the way the game works, and I'll tell you the topic that we're going to choose and how, we're not going to have you call in and play right now. You're going to have to submit for this. But I thought we would take a subject and find out who considers themselves to be a self-proclaimed expert in that particular subject. We get two people who we will go through a selection process, get them on the air. Normally, we would have you in the studio, but we don't do that right now because of COVID and so forth. So what we'll do is we'll get two people on the phone, do a series of trivia questions about that particular subject, and in the end, we will have one winner, and we'll have a prize associated with that, and we'll get to that stuff next week because I want to try to do this next week. But what we're going to need is people to solicit first. So I was trying to think of what might be a fun topic, and there were all kinds of movies and TV shows and pop culture and sports and all the things that you could choose from that people consider themselves to be an expert on. And I thought maybe in true form of the show, we would start with something that we've referenced regularly and is also synonymous with our city.
Right.
So if you are a self-proclaimed expert in Rocky Balboa, then we would like you to let us know about it. So that means the character Rocky in all the movies.
Right.
Okay. Or things about the movies as well, as far as the particulars about shooting locations, people who are important about getting the movie together, the nuts and bolts of the movies. If you know a ton about Rocky, and here's what you need to do. You just go to PrestonandSteve.com and fill out a little form, and it just has your, you know, your name and phone number, and then information about why you're an expert.
Yes.
And then next week we'll pick two people, and we'll put you on. You go head to head. I have a quiz format set up, and we'll try out on it. If we like it, if it goes well, if the format goes well, then we could open it up to all different kinds of subjects of people who consider themselves like. You know, Casey, I might, he's an Eagles expert.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I could put you in. You're not self-proclaimed full-on expert. There's probably people that know more about you.
Oh, way more, yeah. But
if you
still
feel confident about it,
yeah.
Then maybe you might want to enter into it. Nick would certainly be Pearl Jam. It's almost like our...
It's like crack shot.
Like our crack shot.
My subject would be succulents.
Yeah, succulents, yeah. Of course. So, if you know Rocky, and that's all the movies, okay... Then you need to go to PrestonandSteve.com, and you'll see it says Preston and Steve's Battle of the Self-Proclaimed Experts, and fill out the information and send it to us, and we might pop you up on the air to win some cool prizes.
Why the hell not?
Yeah.
Annabelle.
I knew it.
Let's do it, Annabelle.
Did he get his present, by the way?
Not yet.
Okay.
All right. Let me see here. Oh, a couple of tweets Marissa wanted me to point out. Right. Here's a couple of them that said, how the hell does Preston Elliott know character names for movies and can't remember people's names in real life? Hashtag second fiddle. Hashtag irony. Thank you, Scott Liu and Todd Chappelle. Pretty much the same thing. And we even had a tweet from Brianna Frost.
What?
I saw, she saw the cardboard cutouts of us, Steve, at Acme. It says, I saw that at my grocery store, too, and I was like, oh, my God, Steve, Preston? And then I noticed it was cardboard. LOL. Brianna Frost, one of our Preston and Steve Totally Office calendar girls.
In the pantheon. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Don't
absolutely.
Google her at work.
all right, what does it say?
I just thought it was a cool observation of what that contest was like.
All right, this text says, I feel like I'm... just listening to a bunch of friends play a game that I want to play. Ha, ha, ha. Do you guys forget that you're on air sometimes? Actually, yes. Yeah. When we're playing games like that, we do. All right. Very cool. All right. Well, thanks for playing along. And I said I would have a prize at the end. So let's give some away. What should I give away, Case?
Well, you know what, Preston? How about that? Or, right. You know what? That was all like movies and TV shows. So why don't we give away this gigantic prize pack.
Ooh.
Of digital movies and TV shows.
All right. I got The King of Staten Island. I have Scoob. I have The Goonies. All. And wait, there's one more. I missed a sheet here. And Caddyshack.
Oh, that's an awesome bunch of viewing there.
All digital downloads.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll take caller number 15, and you get that, since we were talking about all kinds of stuff from movies and television shows. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, when we curm back.
Oh, my God.
I tried to say Bert at the same time as come.
And he's awake.
Bert Kreischer on the show. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR.com, a great way to stay up to date on the latest rock news and station happenings. Listen live via your laptop, the free mobile app, or just tell your smart speaker to play MMR. From Preston and Steve's Daily Rush to Pierre's Weekend Calendar and the latest on Jackson's Local Shots, it's everything that rocks your computer.
Before we welcome our next guest, I'm just reading some info about what he's up to. Obviously, we know, but... we had Steve Byrne on yesterday.
Yeah.
So he was our most recent guest. And on Bert's most recent Bertcast, Steve Byrne was his most recent guest.
No way.
It's unbelievable what we have in common.
We approve.
We approve. it is called The Cabin. It is streaming now on Netflix.
Sounds like a horror film, but it's not.
It does. But it's he and his buddies, and they're doing some fun stuff, and it's a really good time. So please welcome our good buddy, Bert Kreischer.
Yay!
Hey, man.
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Doing well.
We're great. How are you, bud?
I'm very, very, very hungover.
No! I was going to ask you about Sober October. So is that a thing of the past?
Oh, my God, yeah. Rogan threw us under the bus.
How so?
I saw that post, yeah. So explain what went on.
Oh, okay. We're going to be 100% real. So I sent Rogan and Ari and Tom a text saying, hey, are we doing Sober October? Like mid-September. I was like, you know, I know everyone has a bad taste in the mouth because I got roofied last year, and so no one replies at all. And I was like, all right, cool. I sent another text. I guess we're not. It's whatever, whatever. Tom and I planned this live event that we did last night for Two Bears, One Cave. We're like, we're going to get drugs. We're going to do cocaine. We're gonna have a good time. So then Rogan sends, October 3rd, sends a text to me and Tom, and he's like, hey, guys, are we doing Sober October? Nah. And Tom and I write back. We're like, no, we didn't hear from you, so we just assumed no. And then Rogan goes on Instagram, and he's like, so my buddies totally pushed out, and they can't do it because they're both alcoholic, whatever he said. And Tom and I are like, what did we do? Our social media lights us up. They're like, we knew you were weak. You had no discipline. You're no campaigns. I mean, people are like, you know, because Rogan's fans are like rabid.
Yeah.
Rabid. And and so Tom and I are like, yo, Joe. And Joe, you know, Joe doesn't, he's not doing it in malice. He's just doing it as a joke. But so Tom and I are like, all right, we're drinking every day of October. So last night.
Oh, my God.
I got so drunk last night. I have not been that drunk in my life. And then I get on a plane today at 10, head out to Houston. I'm back on tour. And I'm promoting the cabin. And so I'm getting hammered this month.
Well, so listen, you have to stand in defiance because I did see, and we love, obviously, Joe Rogan, as do you. But the under the bus analogy is true. That was certainly the way it was presented. So I was trying to hash out what exactly had happened. You talked about being roofied. Was it Ari Shaffir who roofied you?
Yeah, you don't remember? Ari drugged me last year in front of my children.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah, yeah.
And you got mad, right?
Oh, I was livid. Are you kidding me?
Okay, thought I remember that. Yeah, this is
like we're being like honest.
Yeah,
I know that like sometimes I make jokes about stuff, but yeah, I was livid. I brought him to my house to do a podcast. I'm taking off that night on a plane at like on a red eye to start my tour. Oh my God. He gets over to my house and he gives me a shot of whiskey, and he's in my man cave. Creepy. I mean, hunched over.
Right.
You know. Over my like literally looks like the devil, and he's pouring shots of whiskey, and he goes, hey, before we start the podcast, let's do a shot. And I was like, all right. So I do the shot, and it tastes funny. I'm like, whatever. So we go outside, we have a cigar, we have a drink, and like halfway through, my face feels hot, and I'm like, man, I go, and then Ari's like dancing, and I go, what are you doing? Are you on something? And he's like, are you on something? Are you on something? And I was like, no. And he goes, are you sure? Are you sure you're not on something? Do you feel weird? And I'm like, yeah, I feel weird, but I didn't take anything. And he's like, okay, I need to be honest with you right now, and I hope you're not angry. I have slipped you Molly. And I'm like, oh my God. What?
Holy hell.
And he's like, I know you're going to be upset about this, but you need to lose control. You need to find your inner. And I'm like, Ari, did you talk to my cardiologist about this? Like, I'm like, I'm on blood pressure medicine. And he goes, I didn't think about that.
Oh my God.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
I go, Ari, I could die right now. And he goes, well, there's nothing we can do about that now, but let's just try to have a good time. And I'm like, oh, my God. Wow. So that was how we started Sober October last year. And so last year, no one spoke for all of October to each other.
Oh my God.
So we just sat silently and didn't drink and didn't do drugs. And no one talked. And like, oh yeah, it was so bad. And then we got done, and me and Tom and Joe, I think, partied. But Ari was in New York, and then with the pandemic, we were like, I don't know. And the fact that Ari drugged me, my wife hates Ari. I mean, hates Ari.
No doubt.
Did you end up having a good time that night or no?
Well, it's crazy. I tried because my daughters found out. They were like, Dad, did Ari roofie you and sexually assault you? And I'm like, whoa, no. You think I got sexually assaulted in the backyard? No, girls. And by the way, you didn't say anything? You didn't, like, come and give me a hug and be like, hey, it's been a rough day, Dad. So, no, it was hard because I had a panic attack, and
sure,
then the Molly took over, and it was absolutely beautiful. Like, Joey Diaz came over to calm me down. Joey Diaz, I called him. He goes, I've been mollied by Ari. And he goes, I'll be there in 10, dog. And
I swear,
on my hand to a Bible, he showed up in 10 minutes. And he said, you got more Molly? And Ari's like, yeah. He goes, give it to me. Joey took Molly, and we sat in my backyard, me, Joey, and Ari, and did a podcast. And I watched the sunset over Joey's shoulder as he told me stories. And it was, like, so beautiful. And then I was okay. We went to the comedy store. and partied there a little bit, and then I got on a plane and I gave the dude next to me the best back massage he's ever had.
Oh my God!
Right, so I want to ask you here. We'll talk about the cabin because it's obviously everyone's loving it. But we're friends with the and have been for many years with the Jackass crew with Bam Margera, Ryan Dunn when he was alive, and Johnny Knoxville, and there's we always talk about living in that. In that context where you're never sure what's coming at you, you're never sure, that crew had no line. There was never a line you could cross. You just kept going, so obviously giving you Molly was a misstep. But do you keep in mind, is there sort of an unspoken rule between you and your group? Okay, here's where we absolutely don't go. Because I can't even imagine with all you've done, where that would be.
Yeah, I think that line is pretty blurred these days.
It has to be.
It's crazy. But, we did the Two Bears, One Cave live event last night, and I started off by saying, there's no drugs in anything I'm about to drink. Let me know that if I'm going to take drugs. And everyone's like, no, we wouldn't do that to you again. And I was like, okay, thanks, guys.
So, Bert, did Ari end up also dosing Big J Okerson with acid?
Oh, my God. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Oh. That was, okay. Now, and I will say, I was so empathetic towards Jay because I've been in Jay's situation. Now, what happens when you've been roofied, and this goes to anyone who's ever been slipped a drug, is you feel this sense of betrayal, your first thought is, do you think I'm weak? Why did you do it to me? It's a weird thing of you go, what did I represent to you about myself that made you believe
a victim.
You could take advantage of me?
Right.
Yeah, a victim.
And right.
It's really crazy. Those are real feelings. I know that there's comedy that jumps around there, but that's real feelings. And so I called Jay immediately, and Jay was really, I don't want to take the wind out of Jay.
Yeah.
But Jay was really upset. And he was like, you know what? I didn't have anything to do with it. And it was, and I got to be honest with you. And out of all the roofings I've seen, this is probably one of the more hilarious ones. because what happened was, Luis J. Gomez had slipped acid into Ari's beer as revenge for Ari dosing me. He was Luis and my wife were friends.
Oh my God. Jesus
Louis
Christ!
Did it on my wife's behalf. Now Shane Gillis found out that he had done that, and he told Ari, "There's acid in your beer." So Ari switched beers with Jay Okerson, and wow. Jay drank that beer.
Oh, my God.
And so at the end of the podcast, it really is an amazing moment in podcasting, and I hate it that it had to happen on Jay's back, but Lewis goes, they're running for president of Legion of Skanks, whatever, and yeah. Lewis goes, you want mayhem? I bring mayhem to this party. Ari, you've been slipped acid. And everyone goes crazy, and they're pointing at Ari, and Ari knows he's giving it to Jay. Jay is laughing at him. Jay literally says, I feel so bad for him. That's not cool, guys.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, Jay, you're not going to like the next part of this thing.
Oh, no.
My God.
And then Ari stands up and he goes, am I on acid or is Jay on acid? And Jay's like, wait, what did I have to do with this? And he's like, I gave the beer to Jay. And you see it in Jay's eyes. Wait, is he being real right now?
God. Real?
It makes you fall in love with Big J Okerson so much because he's like, hey, I've never done LSD. I don't want to do LSD. Can I make it go away?
It was
the most moving thing I've ever seen.
It's no way to live. It's just, I would die of just, I would have not only a panic attack, I would have a full-blown heart attack.
Yeah, it's not even going to be good because you're going to be panicking. And not that this is okay at any age, but if you guys were younger, I would be like, okay, but you're full grown adults, your parents, for God's sake.
I'm 47.
This has to stop.
And you have kids.
Somebody has to put a stop.
But Nick, it doesn't stop. It moves on to a show called The Cabin.
Yeah.
And so the idea here, and you were telling us about this, Bert, you set up sort of a COVID collection of friends, COVID friendly, COVID clear. Group of people, and you...
Oh, no. We shot this way before then.
Oh, okay. Really? So what were you... Oh, yeah. You were shooting another show then.
I was shooting another show.
Well, look at you. Yeah, okay, so this predates COVID, And yep. All right, and you rent this cabin, and then you get a collection of your friends.
And, yeah, and we it's a really interesting show when you know that there is no script to it. It is just comics hanging out in a cabin with fun activities and booze and weed and cigars and animals. And in January 3rd, we all went up to this cabin. Everyone took turns on different days. And I lived up at this cabin in Malibu, pretty much. And we just hung out. And we had great, like, it's, you know, and I'm fairly funny on it, but my friends, Nikki Glaser, Donnell Rollins, Bobby Lee, Tom Segura, Joey Diaz, Fortune Feimster, Anthony Anderson, Dion Cole, Big J. Okerson. I mean, they steal the show because they're all guys that since we've been doing podcasting, they just know how to talk. You know what it is? It is. It's good radio guests.
Yeah.
People that would be great on your show.
Yeah.
And you know those people when they go, hey, Bert wants to call in. You're like, oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. We've had them all on our show. Like every single, with the exception of Caitlin. We've had these guys, and like Jay, we consider to be a friend. Like Nikki Glaser, she came on our show recently.
We fell in love with her.
Before she, like, she's blown up recently. But like, I mean, we had a dildo racing track in our studio. She came in. She didn't know what we were doing. She had a vibrator in her purse.
In her purse, and actually, the race,
and did the race with us and everything. Hey, I wanted to ask you about the guy who rolled your cigars for you, because the second I saw him, that was the episode with Tom Segura and Joey Diaz, and I love those guys. But I could have sworn I've had that guy roll a cigar for me. I believe he, like, tours the country and goes to different cigar shops and rolls cigars. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think he does. And then we gave him an ounce of marijuana and said, roll a super joint.
Oh, my God. He didn't do that for me.
I will tell you, Joey Diaz smoked a misdemeanor's amount of marijuana.
These are all characters that jibe well together. You have... you know, he's Bobby Lee, and obviously said Donnell is always hilarious. That guy is just great. But you're doing the kind of goofy crap that you and your friends might want to do, like the axe drawing, like the William Tell safe archery. But I have to ask about Caitlin, because you know we know Craig Schumacher is a friend of the show as well, and Preston and he have sort of struck up a bit of a friendship, and he's played golf with Caitlin. What was your experience? Because she seems, I mean, you cannot divorce the knowledge that this person was a former super athlete in the Olympics, and yet here she is before you, but she seems really pretty cool. Was that your experience?
Yeah, I really liked her. It's a pretty touching moment in the show because, that's never intended. You know, obviously I'm a comedian. That's all I care about is being funny. But my dad, that morning I called my dad, and my dad was very moved. And he was like, buddy, first thing he said was, this is a bad idea. You're going to misgender her or mispronoun her. And then the world's going to hate you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he's like, it's going to get confusing. You're going to mess up. Don't do this. And I was like, well, she's on her way, so like I can't not do this.
Thanks for the advice.
And my dad's like, you need to treat her with such respect. You don't make just stupid jokes. You have no idea who she is. You don't know what she did for this country and like who she is to me. And he starts telling me, my dad ran track and field at Villanova, right, under Jumbo Elliott or whatever her name is. And my dad ran at the same time Caitlin was running. And he starts telling me about when I was a baby. And he had just given up on sports, and he was practicing law and working at the racetrack in Philly and watching Caitlin in the 76 Olympics. And he was saying what an amazing a hero she was to him. And so I was like, wow, my dad. Like, and he had so many questions, so many doubting questions. So then I get with Caitlin, and I go, my dad ran track and field. She's like, really? And I was like, yes, at Villanova. And she was like, oh, he really ran track and field. I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And then we called my dad, and my dad – like geeked out, like legit geeked out, and no one ever misgendered her or mispronounced her. And my dad was like, you have no idea, you're a hero, like you're a real hero. And I got caught off guard because my dad does not care about celebrity
right
ever, mm-hmm. like ever. And to hear the tone in my dad's voice, I just started crying.
Yeah, wow, yeah. It's special.
Of course, yeah.
That I got to, my dad put on a pedestal, I got to let him FaceTime with for a second and geek out about track and field. And it was great. And then I almost killed Caitlin with an axe.
So there you go. At least there's something for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny, too, because I hope this doesn't get me in trouble, but there's parts of Caitlin when you get competitive, like, there's parts of her where she can, for lack of better terms, kind of bro out a little bit.
Right.
You see her, you forget you're dealing with a champion, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You forget, you're dealing with a legit elite athlete competitor. And
yeah.
you can't scrub that out of someone's DNA. Like that competitive brain will always be there a little bit. And I accidentally threw an axe in the air and it almost hit her. And she was like, I mean, just for a second, just like, bro. And I was like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. It is wild that you listen. All you know, and like, I do an impression of her on the show because, I mean, she's, you know, it's just part of the deal. And she's a pop culture person. And so, you know, we'll do that occasionally. But, you know, the truth is, it's a fascinating thing because it's this person who's legendary, who has a second chapter of their life. And seems to be completely happy, and that's cool. And it's cool that you had her there.
And it includes. Let's not forget, her life is overwhelmingly fascinating. It includes the Kardashians as the children.
I know.
And like Kendall Jenner is the big. Like there are parts of this where you go, if you just tell the story about her past Olympic and where she is today, that's fascinating. But then you try to dial into like. Like, she was best friends with O.J. Simpson?
Yes.
Like, I mean, there's so much to her where you're like, I need more than a day to unfight. She was open and honest about everything.
Is she going
to
do your podcast?
Oh, yeah. I was about to say we text back and forth. That's a lie. She, she follows me. She follows me on Instagram. So
close enough.
Yeah, so we DM, whatever.
Yeah. So, Bert, this entire conversation just is really reminding me that these are the glory days for comedy right now. I'm so impressed at the network that you have built around you. And I'm really curious as to what you thought about your buddy Bill Burr on SNL last weekend. I thought he did a great job. It was really cool to see somebody of that comedic nature hosting a mainstream show. What did you think?
I loved it. I was fist pumping in my bus when when the joke that was like, where I was like, this is Bill Burr on national television was when he said that he's like, Rick Moranis got punched. New York City's back, baby.
Yeah. It was great.
So great. We said, and you know, Bill is a very simple dude. He doesn't like talking about Hollywood or the process or anything. He loves comedy. He'll talk comedy all day, but he's like pretty private. And we have a podcast, obviously, called Bill Burt. And this week we spent an hour talking about the SNL process, about everything. Like he tells me in the dress rehearsal he bombed and he was like it had worked all week, it was working everywhere, and I went into dress rehearsal and it bombed, and I was like panicked, and I said, what happened? He goes, Lorne Michaels came back, and he's like, you need to remind them that you're a comedian. He goes, not everyone knows who you are.
Yeah.
And you forget that some people are like, who is this guy? And then he's just like, I'm so glad Rick Moranis got punched. You're like, whoa, this guy's a lunatic.
Yeah. You know, it is true. And it's weird because you don't have a full audience for SNL. So you have a partial audience. And then ultimately, I think people, it's right now, they're getting there. But I think even the audience is probably like, okay, what exactly, you know, what are we doing? We seem, bizarrely spaced out. And it's a different vibe. But they're soldiering on. They're getting there. But for a comedian who wants to, you know, get that response, a more robust response. I mean, we watched this show for decades. We've seen how crazy the SNL audience goes. And right now you don't get that. I don't know if they're padding the audience response a little bit to, you know, to fill it in. But it's just not the same. I would assume it would throw anybody off.
It was, I'll tell you, man, he was in the moment. He was dialed in.
Yeah.
And he goes, which camera's mine? I mean, and he took big swings. Taking big swings at white women, you rolled in the blood money with us, sit down and get your take you're talking to. I mean,
oh my God.
You know, I was so excited. I texted him immediately. of me and my guys in the bus watching him. We all gave him a round of applause. Like the second we watched it, I texted him and then called him, and then we did a podcast about it. And Bill was very unlike Bill in his podcast, where he broke down everything. Hmm. He broke down the jokes that didn't work, the jokes that worked, why he moved things around. And I sat for, I did an hour podcast with Bill after we did Chappelle's Compound. And I was like, tell me everything about Chappelle's Compound. And he was like, it's not like that, Bert. And I go, I don't care. Start from the beginning. Did you fly private? Did you fly private? And Bill will never admit to flying private. He's like, no, but you don't need to fly private. And I go, I know you. You brought your family and you went to Ohio. Tell me you flew private. And he starts giggling. And he goes, I can't say that.
No, that's cool. We have to ask you, because in town, apparently, I think it's still happening. Adam Sandler still filming in town?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got to call in a favor because we know that you're really good friends with him.
Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I am. It's funny. I so badly just want to be like, I so badly want, because I know Adam, I did an interview with Adam, for everyone that doesn't know, that it went horribly. I asked him if he had Netflix, which I didn't realize was an idiotic question.
Yeah.
But it is to a man that has a $200 million deal at Netflix. And I told him that my daughters and I loved his movie Happy Madison, Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison crammed into one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the worst interview. I said, do you want to hear a cool story, bro? And I told him a cool story about me in an interview. And so badly I want to go, hey, Adam, I'm a real comedian. I have a TV show on Netflix that's trending a couple behind yours in the U.S. I'm a legit because I adore that guy.
Yeah.
I respect that guy immensely. He defined my personality. Him, Farley, Spade, all those guys, influenced me so much when I was in college. And I absolutely love him. Anytime they go, hey, Happy Madison wants to take a general meeting, I'm like, I'm in 100%. Whatever you guys want. I mean, I was gonna play a Santa Claus movie because we thought Happy Madison was interested. So I was like, I was gonna play fat Santa Claus, alcoholic Santa Claus.
But listen, we all understand that. So, doing this show over 20 plus years. We meet a lot of people and Kate, I remember when Norm MacDonald came in here, that was one of the, I don't really get flustered, but it was freaking Norm MacDonald, who I think is just, the state of the art, the Stradivarius of stand up. And I'm like, oh man. And I can get that. And it humanizes you, because everyone, you're on your game, but I think people appreciate that, you were, hey, he's the guy you idolize. It happens, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. I'm like that with everyone. I did that with, I saw Tom Cruise one time, and we were at a premiere for the movie Magnolia. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah. It's a really good movie.
Yeah. And I bumped into him at the premiere. I was there because an assistant helped me get in, and I bumped into him. I turned around, we're face to face, and I froze so bad, and all I said to him was, you have beautiful hair.
Oh man, I've had so many of those moments.
I cannot help it. I'm so bad. And it's funny because I guess now I'm friends with arguably one of the most famous people in the world, with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And thank God I met him when he was just starting up, the dude who got kicked out of the store and was starting a podcast.
Yeah.
Because because I listen to that show so much, I still am like that, but I can do that with him and be like, no, man, I need to know certain things because you just talked to the expert in it and I'm calling you. And so I take liberties with my relationship with Joe hardcore. So,
yeah.
So, but yeah, I would love another crack at an interview with Sandler. I'll tell you. I want a podcast or something.
Well, desperately trying to get some sort of connection through to him while he's here. But
by the way, we've had you in studio a couple of different times, with one time with Courtney Love, another time with M. Night Shyamalan, and you totally geeked out with M. Night Shyamalan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, bro, I just worked with Snoop Dogg. Do you have any idea what it's like? I mean, I'm a hip hop fan, hardcore, and I love Snoop Dogg. I told him, I was like, we're walking back to our trailers, and I'm trying to play it cool because we're working together. So I'm not like leaving on that I want to hang out with him or I want to, or whatever. And so I'm getting in my trailer and I hear Snoop go, "Hey Bert, want to take a shower? And I was like, huh? He's like, come on, man. And he waves me over to his trailer. He goes, come on, shower. And I went, okay. So I'm like, I couldn't have heard him right, but I guess I'll shower with him. So I open his door, and I'm like, hey, man. And he's like, what's up? I said, you want a shower? And he went, what? I said, are we going to take a shower? And he's like, no, I said, let's take a shot. And I went, oh, okay. So, he looked at me and he goes, you came in here thinking I wanted to shower? And I just shrugged my shoulders. I'm like, I'm a big fan.
Was this on the Go Big Show, I assume?
Go Big Show, yeah. And Snoop was awesome to hang out with. I mean, I got to ask him. I told him, I said, you know, it's hard. We became friends. I was like, you got to understand, I'm such a fan of your light. Like, everything, I mean, you knew Tupac. And then he gave me a pinky ring that said Tupac. He's like, you need a pinky ring. And my wife's like, you should get Snoop a pinky ring that says Bert. And I go, like, we're dating? I'm going to get him. I go, baby. And so I was like, you got to give me some liberties because I go, I want all the information inside your head. I want all of it. And I only have a month with you. So, like, every conversation is really important to me because I want to know everything. I want to know what was like the first time you came in and freestyle for Dr. Dre. And he was like, oh, it kind of wasn't even like that, really. And I was like, what? What? Are you being serious? I thought it was what? Like, I got to ask him. There's a video of it. I got to ask him all the lyrics that I never understood.
He's like, right.
You know, if you're a white guy, you don't know street names. You don't know certain colloquialisms that you are in hip hop. And you've been singing them for 30 plus years. And then finally one day I'm like, yeah, amen. On Serial Killer, you say, I drop rhymes like potatoes. And he goes, no, I don't. And I said, no, you do. And he goes, no, I don't. And I go, no, you do. And I played his song for him, and he rapped it to me over my shoulder. It's on my Instagram. And when we got to the rhyme, he goes, I drop rhymes like, and he goes, platoon, you moron.
Oh, my God.
And wow. I go, I drop bombs like platoon. And I was like, oh, I thought it was potatoes. He goes, who drops potatoes?
You were going to shower with this man. Yeah. You had him at the shower. No, that is cool. I love the recent story with Snoop where he was smoking with Willie Nelson. And he said Willie Nelson just destroyed him.
Outsmoked him.
Mm-hmm. Snoop gave me, you know, because COVID, you couldn't really share joints or anything. And he knew that I like to smoke weed, and he goes, here. And he gave me one of his blunts. So I was like, thanks. And then we partied one night. We called Chappelle. I mean, it was like insane. It's fun partying with Dave, with Snoop.
That is wild.
And so I go back to my room, and, you know, we're all in a bubble. So I go to my room, and I light. I go, you know what? I'm going to take some edge off today. I'm going to sleep. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to smoke just a little bit of Snoop's joint. And first of all, it should be known that his blunts have like a glass pipe at the end. So your lips are like halfway open. They're not, it's not like a joint where you have a little hole to suck air through. You're sucking air through a garden hose. Okay. So I light it and I start smoking it and it is killing me. I mean, like two hits and I'm like coughing, clearing debris out of my mouth. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And I look at the joint. And I'm like, I have barely lit this thing and I'm already way higher than I should be. And then I started getting so high, I ended up in the bathroom handing the joint to the mirror going, it's your turn. I took my blood pressure. I spent time with my kids. I mean, like, I was melting down. And I was like, never again. Never Jesus. Again. And then I found out his blunts that he gives you are like $70 each. Yeah. That's how much weed's in them.
Well, you got
They're like a gram of weed.
You got to figure.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
I do want to say, watching your show, I love your wife. I think she is just so sweet, and I understand why you are with her. I don't know the other way around, but like she just seems like she's just the sweetest thing.
Yeah, she's getting old, though, man. She doesn't look like she's...
So the playing field has been evened a little bit.
She was so important in this show because she did. There's so much you don't know that she did to get this show made because, like I said, we shot all through January. And then what we did is we saved a chunk of money to do pickup shots to like clean up the show
right.
and connect tissue. And COVID hit. So the shooting that we had to do to clean up stuff right. was post-COVID. And it was before anyone figured out how to shoot anything. So you can't tell it in the show, but my wife did so much work to get things done, to get that show to air. There was a point where they were going to just pull the show together because they were like, we don't have a show, it's not connected, and we don't have any plans of how to shoot this,
huh.
so we're just going to pull it, and everyone will take their money, but we're never going to air it. And I was so bummed because I knew we had moments of gold, like Bobby and Donnell giving me a coffee enema
yeah.
is one of my favorite moments ever. So, me and that Anthony Anderson and that episode, there was so much gold in these shows that I was like, we got to get this done. And my wife bent over backwards, did not get a producer credit. Should have got a producer credit, did not get it on the thing. And I was like, if we do season two, this woman's getting an EP credit because she is amazing. She's in bed right now, finally sleeping because I'm not snoring. So.
If you do a season two, I think Preston and Steve need to be invited out to the cabin.
Yes.
Yeah, hey, that's a hard. You know, you guys would kill it.
I'm like, it'd be like having Pat Boone or the somebody from the 700 Club out to the.
What we'll do is we'll put you guys all in a cabin next door to us, and me and Sandler and Spade yeah. will be in the cabin next door, and we'll have cabin wars.
Yes, yeah. We would gladly be victimized shot. For that.
Yep.
So are you on the first name basis? What's his name? Ted Sarandos?
No.
Because he's ahead of Netflix. I mean, you're performing well for him. All right. Listen, you're in great company. The show's doing, you know, well, and it's trending well, and it's, we couldn't be happier for you, man.
Yeah,
it's
and
so
just
cool.
Like Nikki Glaser, I don't want you to get too big for us, and I thank you for still answering my phone calls and my text messages. And with that said, I have a favor to ask you, so I'm going to send you a text a little bit later on. We have a big food drive coming up, and actually literally starts a month from today, so I have a big ask for you and Tom Segura, so please respond to my next text message.
I will.
Nothing like an on-air extortion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, you know I've done everything that I could ever do for this show.
Oh, my God, yes. So, I think you told us you've never said no to us, so.
I have never once said no to you.
No.
And the other day was the first time I've been on a bike since I rode a bike from Philly to Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. You finally got the last seat out of your ass.
God, I got on a bike to go mountain biking, and I was like, oh, I forgot why I hated this.
All right. Well, listen, brother, we'll let you get back to your whatever you're going to do. But we know that the cabin is doing well. If you haven't watched it yet, it's right there on Netflix. Make sure you go check it out. Philadelphia absolutely loves Bert Kreischer. So I would imagine if they haven't seen it yet, they're going to jump on and watch it now. And then you've got I'd mentioned the Go Big Show. That's next year. I think that's coming out. So
January 6th.
Yeah. So you got a lot of irons in the fire. It's great, man. And we're shooting the
Machine movie in March in Prague.
That's incredible. It's incredible, yeah. Man.
Oh.
Yeah. And I got to say thank you to everyone in Philly for coming out to the old Vet Stadium parking lot.
Yeah.
And seeing seeing me live with
you
guys.
That was fun.
It was a great time.
That was so much fun. And the most fun was when everyone left and we were drinking beers in the parking lot and playing baseball on the Vet Diamond. we had so much fun. And I was like, I was the best
nice.
Experience I've had this whole pandemic.
Wonderful. All right, bud. We'll catch up soon. Have a good weekend. All right, Bert.
All right, love you guys.
Love you, too.
Bert Kreischer, guys. Wow.
The stories.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask him, I just said, I bailed on it, was like, you know, if you didn't have a successful career in entertainment and you were partying like that,
yeah.
you know, you, mm-hmm. you'd be...
You'd be in jail.
You'd be in jail.
You'd be in jail.
You'd be...
So he cultivated, obviously he was a child of MTV, but it was also he did so much stuff at this Travel Channel. Mm-hmm. He did all these extreme, I mean, that's been his whole life.
Yeah, yeah. We used to party like that when I was in my early 20s.
Did you?
It was stupid, yeah. I mean, but we would do really outrageous things like that. And then some of the stuff they're doing on the cabin, it's a lot like what we used to do with, you know, Kill Casey and but they're doing it with more money.
Yeah.
Older people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just insane.
Sometimes you grow out of it. Yes. Sometimes you're Bert.
Sometimes you're Bert.
We still love it, and we. But there's
watching it more than doing it now.
Yeah, there's a larger legal mechanism over us now that presents a wall to get across if we want to do anything these days.
So the episodes are only like a half hour long, very even digestible. Shorter. Yeah. So you can watch them, and I enjoy. I've only watched 3 episodes, I think, but so I haven't seen the Anthony Anderson one just yet.
All right. Listen, can I do a couple of shout-outs real quick?
Yes.
And then we got to move along. This one says, hey, guys, I'd like to request a nice Yushi shout-out for my mom, Patty. This is from, by the way, Noah Friedman. She's a trooper. Inspiration me. We're both currently students at Immaculata University in Malvern, and she inspires me every day with how hard she works. I'm requesting a shout-out on November 18th. We're not going to be here on November 18th. As it marks 9 years since we lost my brother Josh, and she was as strong as anyone could be through that whole really sad experience. If you could get that out to her, I'd really appreciate it. She got me listening to MMR as a kid, and I've been listening to you all for probably 15 years now. She's an amazing, loving mom, even though I may not always show it. I really appreciate everything she does for my sister and I. I wouldn't be who I am today without her love and support. Aw. Here's a shout out for Noah.
And as you've said, we can't. From Noah
to Patty.
It's a difficult. Request for a specific date, but we got it out. It's on the podcast.
Yeah, well, we're not going to be the 18th is Sunday, so right, we won't be on the air. Here's another one. This is an interesting one. It says, hello, President Steve, Kathy, Nick, Casey Boy, and of course, Marissa. I'm a loyal podcaster. I've been listening since you guys made the podcast available. I haven't missed a minute of the show since June of 2016. I would like to request a shout out for the man about town, Bill Weston.
Aww.
With the amount of crap that you all give him on a daily basis. I'm surprised he hasn't brought in poison donuts and poisoned you all yet. I feel like a shout out from the fan base is appropriate as we all really need this show to get through our days. And also, listen to this before we do the shout out. I wanted to put my hat in for a Not Your Average Listener, as you all once said that anyone that deals with bombs on a daily basis is a shoo-in, and I'm a bomb tech in the Army about to go out the door for my 4th deployment. But living in Colorado makes that a bit difficult. And I also love how you're all bringing back the use of PUD. Because apparently his nickname is Super PUD.
Super PUD.
He said, I've been using Super PUD since the very first days of AOL Instant Messenger. And in case it doesn't mean, and in my case, it doesn't mean the dong. Yeah. My grandmother always called me Joe Putty as a baby because I was so fat, and that combined with my obsession with Superman just equaled Super PUD. And I love it. I think it's adorable how you all talk about retiring as if that's an option. So let's give it up for Super PUD, and this is for Bill Weston, a shout out. And good luck with your deployment, my man. And then this one says, hey, guys, good morning. I'm Steve Dudley from Lansdale. Just seeing if you can give a shout out to my beautiful wife, Lori. And we've been married for 12 years this Saturday. Can't believe she's stuck with me for this long. She has great patience and is a forgiving woman. Cares so much for others as well as being a massage therapist. I guess that shows. But if it wasn't for her, I'd probably either be extremely depressed on drugs or maybe even dead. Who knows where that would have went. But my wife saved my life from going down a nasty road. I love her so much, guys. So a shout out and happy anniversary, baby. Thanks, guys. And keep doing what you're doing. So that's from Steve Dudley. There you go. A shout out and an anniversary. You need something, Kate?
No. Needed Marissa and we're good.
All right. I'm trying to get these out of the way, guys, because they're starting to back up here. Another one says, shout out from my amazing girlfriend, Vanessa. This is from Ben Dossi, by the way. Huge Preston Steve fan. And because of her, I am too. She turned me on to the show. Now I can't get through a day without you guys. Her mutual love for the show is kind of special, part of our relationship. She's dealing with a lot right now, going through a master's program, which will take her career in a whole new direction while still working full-time and raising her 2-year-old daughter, along with dealing with my dumb ass. She deserves a huge shout-out for all that she is doing, and I think it would encourage her a lot. It means the world to me. Give her a big, juicy shout-out. So here you go. And that is from Ben to Vanessa. So there you go.
All right, good.
Got a few of them out the way.
Good.
We need to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment, and we're going to get to the bizarre file. And I'm going to give away a digital copy for PS4, Crash Bandicoot 4.
Nice.
It's called It's About Time. So caller number 12.
at 215-263-WMMR. We're going to set you up. It's a new adventure as everyone's favorite marsupial is back. And new powers and a whole bunch more. Massive new worlds. Own it now on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Caller number 12, yours.
We'll be right back.
Freshen up your look with a fall merch update at MMR's Rock Shop. Head to WMMR.com and grab the latest hoodie or winter hat. For all you Halloween heads, hit up aisle one for a flurry of ghostly face masks. They'll get you right in the spirit. And work nicely if you're one of those, this is my costume kind of people. Plus, gift cards, t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs for a unique gift for that person who has everything. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Everything that rocks your wardrobe and more.
I want to reiterate, since we did play the
Rocky
clip just a second ago, that we're going to try out a new game. It's a game I came up with called Battle of the Self-Proclaimed Experts, because some people think that they're, you know, they have an expertise in a certain department. And I'm talking about on a trivia basis. So the first category that we're going to choose, and we could change this up. If we do like this game, we could find other categories and try them out every once in a while. But we're going to go with the Rocky films, the Rocky franchise.
Seems a likely one. Yeah. Referenced often on the show, local to Philadelphia.
Philly. So let's see. And
also, either that or cream cheese.
Nick had shown this this tweet that, or maybe it was an Instagram post that Stallone had posted. And I thought it was kind of cool. Don't call him for the contest. I'm going to tell you how you can get in the running for it. But it showed a little kid, like almost a baby, and essentially, Stallone was commenting on the fact that there's still some young fans at surface that are fans of Rocky. It said, "Thank you very much for this photo. It's a baby in a Rocky boxing outfit."
He's a great follow.
He said, "Thank you very much for this wonderful photo. Imagine Rocky fans are still being born. Never will forget how blessed I was to come up with this soulful character so long. Thank you, and keep punching." So here's what you do if you think you're a so-called expert, a self-proclaimed expert in the Rocky franchise. Go to PrestonandSteve.com. There's a little form for you to fill out, and we're going to pick the two that we like the best, and those two experts are going to go head-to-head in a trivia competition sometime next week. We'll have a prize associated with that, and I've got a format that I think is going to work out well to determine who is going to be our champion. And if we like that, then we may move on to other film franchises or other TV shows or famous people or sports or who. It could go anywhere with it. Music, bands, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Geology.
So we could even do that.
Yeah. Why not?
We could get into that. So go to PrestonandSteve.com and we'll try this out. We just need our first run of contestants for Rocky Experts. All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Godshall's. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat. Make the switch to Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. And check out the new Make the Switch campaign with Brian Westbrook at Godshall's.com. All right, incensed over a pair of scathing reviews on Yelp, the owner of a Florida barbecue joint allegedly physically attacked his suspected online critic, according to cops who arrested the restaurateur.
I'm going to kill you!
Investigators charged that Daniel Aarons, 60 years old, jumped atop the male victim and struck him several times while outside a residence. Aarons was arrested for battery and booked into the county jail. He was released from custody after posting $500 bond. The confrontation began when the victim, whose name has been redacted by police, arrived at the home. Now, the 25-year-old victim is the son of Aarons' girlfriend. Huh? So they know each other. The victim, cops reported, sought to speak with his mother about threatening communications sent to him by Aarons. In addition to text, Aarons allegedly called the man several times in regarding to wanting to beat his ass about a restaurant review. That's a direct quote.
So the kid doesn't approve of this relationship?
I don't know. Right. So a pair of brutal Yelp reviews published Monday disparaged the food at Georgia Boys Barbecue, the restaurant owned by Aarons. Now, the reviewer, Sean R., claimed that he, quote, wouldn't even feed it to my dog. Adding that the eatery's owner should spend less time threatening customers and more time on learning to cook properly. The second review, authored by Rick R., declared that it was, quote, not a great idea to threaten your customers due to you serving garbage barbecue.
Yeah, that sounds like a bad review.
The arrest affidavit does not indicate whether Aarons thought the victim authored both Yelp reviews or was somehow involved in their posting.
You're a maniac and your food stinks.
Police charge.
That's right, it stinks!
The police charged that when the victim's mother opened her door, Aaron shoved his way past and started to chase the victim around the road. Eventually, after the victim tripped and fell to the ground, Aaron's cops allege jumped on top of him and struck him several times while the victim covered his face with his arm.
Excuse me, sweetheart, we just have to beat your kid.
Aaron's was arrested in July, actually, on multiple felony counts after allegedly punching his girlfriend in the face and placing a pillow over her face for 2 minutes. So he's abusive.
Yeah.
He was also accused of threatening the woman with a wooden board that he used to strike her vehicle. He copped last month to criminal mischief and was fined $575 and credited for the 11 days he spent in the county jail before bonding out. So this
I think I'm
going to
side with the kid on this one.
Yeah, I think so. A Victorian man, this is in Australia, has told of the horrifying moment a magpie attacked him, leaving him with damage to both eyes.
A bird.
James Glindeman, 68 years old, was having an ordinary day eating his lunch at a park bench when he was suddenly swooped by the bird. He said, I sat down at a bench there, and the magpie came up, and I started talking to it because I like them.
Aww.
He said, first, it struck my left eye, and when it landed back on the ground, I didn't drop my food, so it attacked me again in the right eye. He said, the incident happened in a matter of seconds, but the injuries were serious. He said there was some blood. He said there was some blood that was dripping out at one stage, and it covered my eyes. I could barely see, so his eyes were bleeding. But I managed to find my car, and I called 911. After paramedics arrived at the scene, they took Mr. Glindeman to the hospital, where doctors made the decision to fly him to the Royal Victorian Eye and Ear Hospital in Melbourne.
How big is your average magpie?
To undergo surgery. They're a good-sized bird.
Are they?
You know, about,
like a crow? Like a small crow?
Yeah, something like that. Yep. Yeah. So it turned out that there was no actual damage to the right eyeball itself, but the area around it was very inflamed. So my vision of both eyes are blurred at the moment, but I think doctors are confident that my sight can come back.
I wonder he was talking to her. I wonder what he said to it.
I don't know, but he thought it was very friendly, and he figured he would talk to him.
No time to talk.
Yeah, he's the Rambo of the magpie world.
You stink.
So the government has recommended you cover your head with a hat because it's apparently the season that they swoop. They get territorial.
Could you take off your hat?
You wear a hat, helmet, or umbrella. And listen to this. Consider drawing a pair of eyes on the back of your hat or helmet.
Oh, come on now.
To deter birds and also do not harass them.
No, it's that point at which I carry a flamethrower.
Wow. Wow. All right, I got time for one more story, and then we got to wrap it up. Knoxville, Tennessee officials said a man was arrested after causing nearly $30,000 in damages at a cemetery. Authorities responded to a report of vandalism at a church cemetery. When they arrived on the scene, the police noticed extensive damage to the cemetery, including dug-up spots in the ground and broken headstones. A witness told officers a homeless man had stayed around the property and had been damaging the cemetery. Officers identified the suspect as Danny Frazier and told officers he did destroy some of the property in an effort to resurrect his dead grandmother, who is buried at the cemetery.
Oh, that's sweet.
Isn't that nice? Officials said the cost of repair would be around $30,000. Gum-gum? $30,000.
Oh, this was a mistake.
Frazier was arrested and charged with vandalism and criminal trespass. And that is your bizarre file this morning. Let's take a break. Let's come back. We'll do the lesson question, the trash, the music news. We still have our Word of the Week prize to give away and more. Returning shortly. Bear back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We have a lesson question to ask for today, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets for the Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions. Let me take a look at these because we have some good ones, and yeah, it's hard to choose. Let's see. How about this? Oh, man. I can't decide.
Let me see.
Let's go with this.
It's okay, baby.
I know. It happens, right?
Yeah. It happens to a lot of guys.
Bachelorette star Becca Cuffrin is freezing her eggs after a breakup with her fiancé. Which local celebrity sponsors a frozen egg center? 215-263-WMMR. Bachelorette star Becca Cuffrin is freezing her eggs after breaking up with her fiancé. Which local celebrity sponsors a frozen egg center? 215-263-WMMR. I'll tell you the other ones I was considering in a moment, but we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it is brought to you by HERS for a true Philly game day. You got to break out the HERS. Enter the HERS Upgrade Your Home Gate contest at WMMR.com and take your game day to the next level. HERS. Since 1946. What is up this morning, Steve?
Well, 32-year-old Rihanna has landed on Forbes' list of America's richest self-made women for the first time, an estimated wealth of $600 million. Rihanna says despite all the money, she still puts her pants on one leg at a time with the assistance of a staff of 20 people coordinated from overhead by a drone. Now they're keeping up with the Kardashians is ending. Kim Kardashian announcing that she's joining the cast, and this is true, of the animated series Paw Patrol. Kim will reportedly play a new puppy in town who becomes famous after the release of a graphic sex tape.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and finally,
my children!
Queen Elizabeth making her first official royal visit since the COVID-19 lockdown to a top-level laboratory. Since the majority of the visit was outside, Her Majesty did not wear a mask or panties.
Oh!
That's right.
All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to today's lesson question. Bachelorette star Becca Cuffrin is freezing her eggs after breaking up with her fiance. Which local celebrity sponsors a frozen egg center? 215-263-WMMR. We are going to go to Mike and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. All right, what local celebrity is it, Mike?
Ron Jaworski.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah! Just a second, Mike. We're going to set you up with a pair of tickets to Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions, voted the number one haunt in the country.
You've got to get there.
Your last chance to get half-price tickets is on the details page, WMMR.com. The big freaking deal, so make sure you grab them. All right, let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Before I give you our sponsor and get into this, I was going to tell you the other questions, which were when other kids were having sex at Kathy's party, what was Kathy actually doing? She was playing Parcheesi. Right. She was actually playing Parcheesi.
Yeah.
And then what would Steve's topic be in the battle of the self-proclaimed experts?
Succulents.
Succulents, yes. Very good. All right. Music News is brought to you today by Salus University. Salus University offers some of the fastest growing and highest paid health professions in the country, including optometry and audiology. Salus University, the future of health science since 1919. To apply, visit salus.edu. We're going to start with this. David Crosby. I didn't really touch on this after Eddie Van Halen passed away. I didn't think it was really worth touching on, but he apologized to Eddie Van Halen fans that took umbrage with his callous remarks about the guitarist following his death earlier this month.
What did he say? I didn't hear this.
Crosby, who is now 78, was asked his opinion on Van Halen as a guitarist, and he answered, meh. He went on to say, Hendrix changed the world of guitar. Nobody else, really. He said, look, I get it. Many of you loved Van Halen, and the one time I met him, he was nice and he was talented. Meh to means mean I don't care that much, and I don't. Doesn't mean that he wasn't good.
I'm sort of glad he's dead.
Said he was, but not for me.
How do you think that's going to read?
Well, hang on a second. Yeah. So he
you know, fans were obviously pissed off about this. But he made amends in a new tweet writing, yes, Van Halen fans, I did just toss off an answer that was not cool. The even more embarrassing truth is, I didn't even remember that he had just died, or I would have kept my mouth shut. I do make mistakes. No offense intended.
Okay.
So I think had he been aware, he would have been a little bit more kind about it. But to him, Eddie Van Halen wasn't his type of music, wasn't his type of guitar playing. So that's what he was speaking to. So
meh.
Korn is set to appear in the online game world of Tanks Blitz as part of the rollout for its new Burning Games mode. According to Consequence of Sound, the event will take place from October 16th through the 24th. Meanwhile, the band has also shared the music video for Finally Free, a song from 2019's Nothing, which features tanks and imagery from the game. Product director Andre Rayabovel said in a statement, Korn is the perfect partner for our Halloween event. We can't wait to rock fans and World of Tanks Blitz players to experience this exciting collaboration.
You're taking it to a new level.
Is that a phone game?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
I don't know.
However, they are releasing, and you're seeing them pounding now, the commercials for the new Xbox, the two versions of the new Xbox, and the new PS5, obviously. So we're getting down to the gritty.
Are you guys familiar with a game, an app game on your phone called, I think it's called Imposter?
No.
So this is the one that's like taking...
I have a calendar.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have one of those as well. It's one of the games that like my kids and all of their friends are like...
Oh, really?
I haven't heard of it.
Okay.
I brought this up to Preston and Casey after the show yesterday, Steve, but have you seen the commercial for the John Goodman's head?
Yes, on the end of the finger, pushing the screens.
Yeah, it's some gambling app.
It's pretty hilarious.
It's weird. Yeah. It kind of creeps me out a little bit, but it's effective, and I laugh every time I see it, but there's something about it that really bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For Tom Petty fans, the long wait is over with today's release of the eagerly anticipated box set Wildflowers and all the rest. The 5-disc set collection restores Petty's original broad concept of the Watershed 1994 solo release. The compilation was curated by Tom's daughters, Adria and Anakim Petty, and his wife Dana Petty, who were assisted by Heartbreakers Mike Campbell and Benmont Tench, with the project produced by Petty's longtime engineer and co-producer, Ryan Ulliate. Or Ulliate, I guess how you say his name. So the deluxe edition features 15 home studio recordings made by Petty and is rounded off with 14 live performances of songs from Wildflowers recorded on various tours from 95 to 2017, along with 16 studio recordings of alternate takes of Wildflowers songs.
So we played a few, when they first announced this, a couple of the demos and the first runs at various songs. He was such a perfectionist that even the demo sounded release-worthy.
Yeah, I agree. One more thing before we get to the matchups today for October Madness. It was 35 years ago today that little Steven Van Zandt enlisted like-minded performers into a studio to cut the track Sun City.
I ain't gonna play Sun City.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
The song, which featured contributions from Bruce Springsteen, Bono, Lou Reed, Jackson Brown, Bob Dylan, and many others, and an attack on apartheid, has been credited with helping bring down the all-white minority government of South Africa. Among other notables appearing on the track and the video were Joey Ramone, Run DMC, The Temptations, David Ruffin, and Eddie Kendricks.
Spunnel have refused to play Adventure Park.
Pat Benatar, Ruben Blades, Ringo Starr, Zach Starkey, Darlene Love, Bobby Womack, Curtis Blow, Bonnie Raitt, Hall & Oates, Jimmy Cliff, Peter Wolf, George Clinton, and many more. Steve Van Zandt had said that he never had any idea the track would have such an effect on people. He said, at the time, all I was trying to do was politicize other artists, politicize whatever public I could reach. I was just trying to get people into the frame of mind of being involved with issues on a daily basis.
It's actually a good song, too.
It is
a good song. You can do all, you know, listen, if you're going to do a political song, make it a catchy one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you wanted to get some traction.
By the way, Jackson Brown, I thought this was kind of interesting because I remember his part. Revealed the backstory on how he and Bob Dylan came to duet on Sun City. Jackson said they had already gotten me to sing this line. The line was relocation to phony homelands. And then Steven called me up and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I gave the same line to Bob. I said, well, that's great. Well, so we're singing the same line. It's in harmony, right? He said, no. And he said, no, for some reason, he sang the same notes that I sang.
and he had run out of lines in the songs and was like, I'm not going to not have Bob Dylan on this record. And then Jackson said, well, I said, well, why don't you slow it down and make it like a delay? Maybe that'll work. And that's why they did it. So essentially, they're kind of echoing each other's lines in that particular part of the song.
Oh, that's cool.
And he said, but then we had to do the take. We had to do it that way for the video. I see Bob. He says, why did they do that and make that sound? And I sang it right in time with you. He had said, why did they do that? And he didn't know, but that's how they made it work.
So. They couldn't have added on like an E-I-E-I-O or something like that?
I don't know.
E-I-E-I-O.
Or a sha-la-la-la.
Sha-la-la-la.
But it's a cool tune. I remember clearly. And I went back because this morning, just to reminisce, I watched some of the video. That was Bono at his mulletist.
Completely.
He had a gigantic mullet at that point.
And little Steven had the bandana.
Mm-hmm. As always, yep.
Big mullet for the hair. Top of my head. Standing 10 feet tall with the pride of the Celtic experience. I gotta get a nap.
All right, and one last thing. MMR's Rocktober Madness, presented by Horizon Services, continues today. The matchups are as follows. Kinks against Bruce Springsteen.
Kinks versus Bruce Springsteen.
That's in the Pierre Pancake section. In the Preston Steve section, it's Genesis and Yes.
This is kind of a cool thing because you have two of the prog rock, you know, trippier bands playing against each other.
Mm-hmm. Then Metallica against Alice in Chains in the Jackson Sarah bracket.
God, that's good too.
And then last but not least, the most interesting one of the day, Jackie and Brent's category, or Jackie and Brent's brackets, feature a battle with Rage Against the Machine and the Beatles.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see what happens, man. Anything can happen in this thing, so we'll see. All right, and that's all I have in music news. We're going to take a break, come back in a second, and we'll wrap it all up when we return, so stay close.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 16th at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. You heard correctly. The event is a little earlier than usual. This difficult year has made it even harder for area families staring food insecurity right in its face, which makes the Camp Out Business Challenge more important than ever. Props to Subaru of America for leading the way, challenging other area companies to get involved. It's effective team building for your staff as they rally together to help fill abundance in their mission to drive hunger from our communities today and end hunger for good. For those who go the extra mile, there are prizes for the top three business challenge donations, including Preston and Steve broadcasting live from your place and for your staff. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger from 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
What a horrible looking day. But the good part about it is we get this day out of the way. We did have beautiful weather up until this.
We did.
We get this out of the way and then we get nice weather the rest of the weekend. So we're going to have rain most of the day today. It's going to lighten up after, say, 5, 6 o'clock, but it's, you know, it's starting to get darker early now. So.
You know what today is? It's a nice day to curl up under a blanket with a big piping hot bottle of vodka.
Yeah! Talking my language. Switch that to bourbon, and we got ourselves a deal.
Yeah. Not vodka, but...
But, yeah, it's going to be sunny tomorrow, and the high about 61, 62 degrees, so seasonable, and then sunny on Sunday, 66, and then temperatures warming up. We're going to be in the low to mid-70s for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, around that. So, just, yeah.
It's worth it. I mean, we're getting to some good stuff.
Craphead day today. Craphead, wow. Yeah. So, anyhow, today has been a fun show. I want to thank Kathy's friend Peach Fuzz for calling in this morning. PF or PF Chang's, we're going to call her now. But thank you so much to Bert Kreischer who was on today.
Yeah,
Bert,
yeah.
We went for a good 35 minutes with Bert. He's just, his stories never, ever cease to amaze us. They will continue to. And he's a great friend. He loves Philadelphia, too. Absolutely loves this town. One of his specials was shot at the Trocadero.
Absolutely. So. And he's on a tear, man. His career's going great guns.
Yep. So thank you to Bert. And thank you to Jeff Walton.
Yay!
President of Porsche Club of America, the Philadelphia chapter. And 2020 Fill-A-Trunk for the Camp Out for Hunger is happening. So here's the deal. If you have a car club or want to even start a car club, or you just love groups of cars and want to see them in person, you can be a part of this event. It's going to be on Sunday, November 15th. The details are at WMMR.com or PrestonandSteve.com, and it's simple. You fill up your trunk and you come down, you donate. Now, this is the day before the Camp Out for Hunger officially starts. So as this group, this car club group, likes to present in one big delivery, you come down, you be a part of it, you get to see some great vehicles. We used to kind of do it at the actual Camp Out for Hunger event, and it got so big with these cars coming down that it created such a traffic jam for other, you know, kind of pedestrian people who didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
That Jeff had the idea, let's move it on a separate date. We'll make it a big car show. Last year was actually a car show. This year, obviously different with COVID. So it's going to be a bring in and drop stuff off. So if you have a car club, you should see all the clubs that are a part of this. And it's just impressive for people who are gearheads.
And he's really worked
appreciate
it.
Vehicles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Jeff goes to great lengths. He works on this. I mean, like a month after we got done with Camp Out last year, he was emailing me about how we can do it better next year.
Yeah.
So we'd like you to check that information out on the website and get involved and be a part of it. So thank you, Jeff, for being on. And then one last thing I want to plug before we find out what Pierre's got going on. We're going to try Battle of the So-Called Experts, a new game I've come up with. And we're going to try different categories each time we do it. This time we need people who think they are an expert in the cinematic universe of Rocky. Figured we'd start with the Philadelphia staple. And if you are, go to PrestonandSteve.com and fill out this little form, Battle of the Experts. We're going to pick two people from the forms and have them battle it out. And we will indeed see who is the champion.
We should get our favorite Rocky impressionist to...
yes. We should actually
have him record something for that.
And do something
special. I can do it, too.
Hey, yo, you can do a Rocky?
Oh, yes.
All right, let's do it. Let's hear it.
Yo, Adrian.
That's right, it stinks!
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow, man.
Hey, yo.
And also...
You're better than that!
You are.
How you doing, man?
Fine. You know, speaking of the Porsche Club, one of the greatest lines I ever heard Jackson say, when it was some... Well, I don't know, whatever year it was when... There were several years where they came down and delivered, like, at the camp out. And one year, Brent Porsche rode with the Porsche Club, even though he drives a Jeep.
Right.
And so I said to Jackson, are you aware that Brent is riding with the Porsche Club? And Jackson stopped and looked at me, and he goes, he's dead to me.
That's great.
I just love that line.
That's excellent.
Yeah, I don't know if we've said this, but you're going to be down at Camp Out all week. Jackson's going to be down at Camp Out all week. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
I don't know if you knew this either.
Yeah, I am welcome. Now knowing this.
I mean, and... we're you know, there's so many things that are in flux, and we're putting together as much as we possibly can, but it's cool to have your support that you're learning about right now that week, and then and Jackson's going to be broadcasting as well. So
cool.
It's a work in progress, but it's November 16th to the 20th, and... we're getting excited for it already, which is it's fun. It's a lot of work, but it's a really important and worthwhile cause.
There's legitimate reason to be excited. For things that we're going to lose, we're going to actually bring in some other things that are going to hopefully offset that a bit, you know?
Well, and, you know, if you've spent any time on the news, I've seen car lines that go around the block for food around the country. And, I mean, it's really tough out there. So this, I don't think it's, as you said, come at a better time. Than now. So there's a lot of folks who could use this help, and I'm excited about it.
Cool. So are we. All right, we're going to do the letter of the day.
I think.
Before we do the letter of the day, though, I was thinking about this last night as I was in bed, and I want to thank everyone who participates in the Word of the Week prize, because it dawned on me, we never do it at the same time every day. It's not like we have a specific time where this is the letter and I just have to tune in and I catch. You got to pay attention.
You do.
You got to be pretty dedicated to do it. So cuz look, it's 5 of 11 and sometimes we do it at 10:30 and sometimes we do it at 10:45. So I just want to say thank you. Are you ready?
Yes.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve show is brought to you today by the letter.
P as in Pearl Jam.
Very good. Caller 3. You get a crack at it. 215-263-WMMR. Three-lettered word. Caller number 3 at 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you can get that. What's up on your radio program?
Well, as you mentioned, the Rocktober Madness is going to be pretty fun today. We've got the Kinks against Bruce at 11:30. We've got Genesis against Yes at 1:30. I just don't know how that's going to go. Then Jackson with Alice in Chains against Metallica, and perhaps the battle of the day, I think, like you said, Rage Against the Machine against the Beatles.
I would be laughing because I would think the Beatles would just handedly, you know, flick them off like a fly or something like that. I don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I have no idea what's going to happen.
You're so correct. Yeah. So anything could happen. And then it's Bob Weir's birthday, so we'll do a block of the Grateful Dead. We've got a block of Disturbed, Goo Goo Dolls. So it's going to be a fun day.
All right. We'll go to the phone, see if we can get an answer to this or find out what our word of the week is. I'm going to go to Dennis. Good morning, Dennis.
Hey, guys. How are you, buddy?
Doing good, man. So what is that three-lettered word, sir?
I hope it's top. T-O-P.
Yo, Adrian.
Yes. Dennis, we are going to set you up. It's nice and simple. A $400 Resorts Casino Hotel gift card, my man.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much. You guys bet. Rock.
Yeah, thanks, man. Enjoy that stay. Don't forget Resorts Casino Hotel using the most advanced air purifying technology to ensure that your gaming experience is fun, exciting, and worry-free.
Nice.
Room rates starting at just $69. You can book your stay by visiting resortsac.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let me take this moment to thank the fine sponsors of the Preston and Steve Show. It's been brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors, and by Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. Next week on the program, we will have comedian Michael Yo joining us.
Ah, excellent. Hey, yo.
And also we will
have, hey, yo.
And Dan Soder is going to be on, too.
Excellent.
I'm sure we'll have some other people that will end up coming onto the list by the time the weekend is done. So we will see you. Rage on. Have a great weekend. Take care. And we'll do it again on Monday. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Yeah, this is a big good luck wish to my ex-wife. She's getting remarried. I hope everything goes off spectacularly without a hitch. I hope once it's official and they're walking back down the aisle arm in arm, she trips and knocks her front teeth out. Deuces.
Next message.
I just want to say that I am so ready for some football. Go Birds! E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
Next message.
These COVID restrictions are bullshit. You can't go in a building because you get COVID. So let's build a building outside of the building so you can go in! This!
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.